It's recording, so this is bonus content.
Oh, okay.
You're not going to hear that. This is, if you're listening to this, it's if you're watching this, it's the Monday after Christmas. So I hope you had a nice holiday. My calculation is you don't need fresh content on Christmas Eve, but you desperately need fresh content like the Monday after Christmas.
So this is going to be
Monday, December 20.
So we're doing that now.
We're doing that right now. We're in now. Now, what happened to then? We missed it. When?
Okay. So what do you want to do for the bonus content?
Oh, I have it right here. We're going to watch this absolute Chad.
Oh.
Tell us what being white is all about.
Ujim. Will I bought the album? Been here since the 70s. That's fucking cannoli in the city. They import the, your fucking sister's ass. They import their ricotta from the Sicily off the boat under the rug. Nobody knows nothing. They don't even pay tax on it. You know what I mean? Uncle Sam goes scratch.
Well, now you fucking, you just blew up the spot, you asshole.
I know. This, but this absolute Chad right here.
I mean, what the fuck?
This fucking like great, 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 great grandson of a legionnaire. This fucking pure Roman Empire blood right here telling you how to appreciate pastry.
I mean, this guy is like the true patrician race.
This is a
right
fucking
here.
Chad.
Just made a mess. I'm causing a scene.
This guy is
like track suit fucked.
This track is like et tu suit.
Yes.
Et tu track suit. Et tu set suit. Track suit.
Et tu tacini. Et tacini.
Adidas.
No. Fuck that. Well, he's wearing Adidas.
He's wearing Adidas.
You gotta wear, if you're not wearing tacini, you get the fuck out of here.
I got a coffee over here.
Coffee. Fuck, guy.
What a fucking sin. I just dropped a shitload of my dog.
Yo,
right
Cousine, she just gave you a box of everything.
Hey, they take care of me over here. They take care of me. Just complete and utter clash, gentleman like. I'm still fucking.
Yeah, this is some broken
deep
right
down
here.
Crying.
Good shit, right?
Like, I just dropped. Called him. He's like, Cousine.
Hey, Cousine. I think that's his name on TikTok.
Okay, so he's just overdoing it.
Yeah.
Is
but
this...
no shit.
Well, the way he said when he said your fucking sister's ass when he dropped
that
it,
was real.
That was real. I think this is just how he really is. It's like just go be.
No, he is a Cousine. Like there's gonna be people that are gonna be like, he's not Italian. He's Jewish.
No, that's what I wanted to talk
true.
About.
That's not
good
true.
News is I still got.
There are Italians that look like
Hushvir,
that.
What is a Hushvir? I can't even tell what he said there.
I don't know.
Like a fucking horse's ear. He's like, I dropped my cannoli, but I still got this.
Down crying, I just dropped this half a cannoli. Good news is, I still got a half a Schwierdau. Schwierdau's a fucking quality, too. They got, like, the crust.
That's too ethnic. I don't even know what that is.
I don't know. I'm like, now I'm worried maybe he's Jewish.
I don't really know what's going on here. But we're talking at least a 12 out of 5 bottles. No bullshit. Best pastry shop. All the city. I don't give a fuck. Manhattan, Staten, Italy. Oh, go scratch. Best of the best. Take care. Brush your hair.
You got a little something on your nose.
Yeah, I got something everywhere.
The guy's fucking great. I mean, that's,
the guy is funny.
That's America, right? If you don't like that, you don't like America. That's white nationalism. There's these guys out in the Midwest. They don't like that. They may or may not run like a show on our site.
They're like
these people need to be deported. I'm like, yeah, to Ohio. You need that guy.
First of all,
you need to send that guy out to Ohio to adjust the recipe for Skyline Chili. Because the problem with Skyline Chili is there's like nobody, like, all right.
There's
no flavor in it. Like, Skyline Chili is like a sloppy mess
Skyline
of grease.
Skyline Chili, there's with no nothing, fixing with, it. It just needs to be deleted.
Well, no, it needs some flavor. It's just slop. Bland slop, am I right? Because this is the thing, this is the realization I came to. People complain about
chili
this.
Chili doesn't have
about
any
food.
Spices in it. It's not even, it's not, I think the problems are bigger than that it's bland. There's more problems.
Well, this
that,
is what I have but. For you. The stereotype the niggers give us
that we don't
season our food, white people. And you say it's because all you ever eat is at prison. It's like, no, they've probably been in the Midwest.
I never said that. That's
what I'm saying. Like, you're cooking out there. That guy.
No,
they sure
bent.
As hell. That, no nigger that's ever been to that Cousine fucking pastry shop ever said that about white people. No, he's probably in fucking Minnesota somewhere. It's Wisconsin.
Why would I be offended by niggers saying that in the first place? Hey, guess what, niggers? You know what else? We don't season each other with bullets all the time either.
Because we're shitting on old timer right now.
You don't
That's why
each
we
other.
Care.
We don't pepper each other with bullets. But
in the interest,
actually,
in the interest of shitting on old timer.
They'll say that you do because of like war and stuff. I'm like, that's different.
Someone was
black
like
people never had wars because they don't have they can't
not organized enough to even form a
you literally cannot create a black army. You can't. You've never been able to do
so
it.
So this other Midwesterner. In response to that video and me doing the bants about not seasoning your food, he wrote back, laughs in bratwurst. I'm like, that's your problem. You think bratwurst is like spicy. Bratwurst is like... Bratwurst is like, I really don't want to taste very much right now, so I'm going to eat this bratwurst. I'll put mustard on it if I want to taste something.
Mustard has spices.
Yeah, but like the bratwurst
well,
doesn't.
Let's just be real here. Like most American cuisine is a cope.
American?
No, not that guy's cuisine. Cousine's cuisine is what you want.
Okay, but listen
to me.
Like that's European, isn't it?
No, it's from New York. Fucking New York.
It's he's American
like,
adjusted.
He's eating sweets right there. See, the Midwest, like, old timer doesn't know what to do with that cannoli. He's like, where's the high fructose corn syrup?
Oh, it's there.
Where's the, where's, no, it's like it's made out of ricotta. It's ricotta and like real sugar and stuff. Ricotta that they smuggled into the country, by the way. That's the organized crime. There's, he said that he blew up this weather. Nobody knows nothing. Uncle Sam can go scratch. And then they're like out there in the middle. They're like, what's wrong with a nice.
Where is that shot?
What's wrong with a nice Twinkie?
Was that
dude, I don't know. Stick
New
with New
Jersey that. Somewhere?
I was trying to make fun of him because they eat Twinkies. Like, he's like, what? Why can't we have a nice Hostess Twinkie? Where's a nice moon pie?
Is Hostess Twinkie, is there anything about that real?
That's what I'm saying. Not as real as Gugine's fucking
cannoli.
Half a cannoli. He spelled pronounced with the G. A cannoli.
Yeah.
It was on the.
I'm surprised you said cannoli. I fucking
dropped. Cannoli.
I dropped this fucking
cannoli. Did you see the cannolis that our buddy brought to the party that night?
Yeah, unfortunately, they had chocolate chips in them. So
those cannolis were huge. Those cannolis were like, I'm 32 years old
sometimes
and I'm ready to settle down.
I see the cannolis that big.
These
and
jokes
I'm like,
I do.
I
step on.
I'm sorry.
The cannolis, they were so big. They were 32 years old and ready to settle down. Bing, boom.
Okay. Bing. Wait, maybe I missed something there? I don't.
They were like big sloppy cannolis. You see, they're just
oh,
huge.
I see.
They
yeah, I get you.
They look delicious.
Yeah.
I was trying to do the roast beef.
But some of those cannolis are legitimately almost too big to even take a bite of.
That yeah, it was bad.
And you can't
I don't
take
know what
a
you,
bite.
Like,
of
I didn't
them?
Have any. I was like, "What do you do? What
you
do you do with
can't
that?
Take a bite of them without like the sauce everywhere on your face and squeezing out the other end and like all it's just all over the place. Yeah, cannolis are inherently a bit of a sloppy food, but yeah, but whatever.
They're so good.
They are good. They are good. But I've never known, like, we have our one friend who seems to trail cannolis everywhere he goes.
Yeah, he goes. He leaves a path.
Yes, he's like a path of cannolis everywhere. But, like, the thing is this, about the seasoning of the food. Here's the true bants on this. This is the ideal bants on that, right?
That you need people from the Northeast to, like, go to the rest of the country
to give you
spice?
No. One, don't buy into the shit test that spice is inherently the thing that makes the food good. Some white people have spice food, some don't. And it's true that the reason...
No. You're going about this all wrong. We need to do it right now. We need to win the battle of regional racism between white people.
I don't want to have
like
that
these,
battle.
Well, they're having... No, they're having the battle with us. They're telling us the New Yorkers need to be deported. I said yes to Wisconsin.
Well, because the way that guy was talking?
All kinds of things.
Why?
Yeah.
The fuck do you care?
They just they fear the superiority of that man's genes. They oh his weak chin and his big nose. He's probably a Jew. Like, no. Roman, that's a Roman emperor right there.
Yeah, that's a fucking true patrician race.
The other Italian phenotype you have is when they like lantern jaw, but they talk like this. You ever known a lot of high pitched Italians?
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Ujib over here.
But you also do you'll get like big fat guys that talk like that too. You'll get like non-fat guys that talk. What was that guy? It was a bit of
I've seen the weak chin, big nose Italian before.
Yes.
One of my best friends in high school kind of had that.
Yes, I've seen that. I've seen the big nose, definitely big nose. The big nose Jews don't really have a lockdown on it. Frankly, only people that don't really have big noses, frankly, are like Nordics. Even English have big noses. The nose isn't like see these. Some people have like big noses, but they're not like hooked noses.
No, they're big.
But
like my grandma's big pointy beak she had.
Even hooked noses
like
are not purely Jewish. You get French with hooked noses. Even hell, that guy had a bit of a hook in his nose. People have told me like I've got a hooked nose. I'm like,
people are crazy. That's just the chans. That's just DNC Mossad agents on.
Yeah, and they're like they're trying to gaslight you. Like this guy's got a hooked nose. I'm like,
drawing dog bot lines on it and shit.
Like, what are you talking about? Yeah. First of all, my nose is actually very small.
It is. It's very straight.
Yeah. It's like the...
See, I made Alex sit down for this bonus content. Yeah. He's not even participating.
Alex, kind
Alex
of,
have you ever eaten a cannoli? Alex,
well, the funniest is
you
black fucking, people.
You fucking
we've,
backwoods
we've been
fucking,
over this. I don't really like Italian food.
That's fine. I don't mind that.
A fucking
Again,
hick.
Look, you don't have to like Italian food.
Yes, you do. Right. We're going to send you a bunch of Italian people when the ethno state is won. We're going to empty out fucking, well, you empty out the Bronx.
I only like Italian women.
Okay.
I'll give the Italians that. They have got some amazing bodies.
But they got it's from all the rigatoni.
Italian girl ass. Mm.
The rigatoni.
Yeah, well, you think it comes for free? You need the
fucking the parmesan.
But yeah, nah. I mean, I can see why somebody like a no personality Midwesterner might be offended by cuisine, but no, I'm joking. I understand.
What do they eat in the Midwest, though? I mean, I'm from the South. We have our nigger cuisine down here, but
like Twinkies and
they frankly they eat corn.
What
in all different
Skyline,
varieties.
They eat Skyline chili.
That's when you say Midwest to me, I think like some sort of generic home style cooking.
They have like, I figure they have just like Price Chopper Aldi versions of already sort of bland German food.
I don't
like
want
you want
to
like a really dis-
buy
you
into
like a,
this though. Like
you want to have a really disappointing like what's the like Spätzle, just one that just like it's like egg noodles.
I like egg noodles.
Yeah, but like not when you're expecting Spätzle.
I also think that one there's a lot of unpacking that needs to be done with this whole conversation.
Look, we're just infighting right now. This doesn't have to make you're being too just be unreasonable and just banter them. That's what I'm doing.
I feel like if you're in the Midwest and you're trying to get on a fucking soapbox about like your food, like what food are you even talking about?
Fair, that's true. Like at least Southerners and Yankees bants each other.
Southerners,
but at least there is distinctive food.
At least I can say that there's like barbecue down here, and people are very, very.
There's a lot
like,
of greasy fried stuff and barbecue stuff.
Yeah, barbecue. I mean, what is that really? It's
like, there's different types of barbecue. Like, fight over it.
We cook this for a long time, and we slop some shit on top of it, and it's sticky.
But you can't. Here's the thing. Alex used to talk about when we were talking about Italian food. He'd be calling it Yankee slop. I'm like
Yankee slop.
When you talk about barbecue, you can't call other food
slop. Like in the Midwest, I don't think they have arguments about things like barbecue and whether it needs to be like this style or that style.
They need to be. Well, they need to be colonized by somebody. Is what I'm saying, whether it's the barbecue the barbecue rebellion comes for them, or like the
up here up around
like
the
tri-state fucking immigration, like we've been doing, like we're gonna do 19 what year was that?
Well, people are always talking about
1920 again.
So it's sort of funny because it's a very similar kind of argument. Like down there they're like, okay, do you I'm do thinking, the vinegar no vinegar, do you do mustard no mustard, we'll up do, here we're talking about like
Ellis Island, Iowa. That's the future for the ethno state.
Ellis Island Iowa. But no, you know what I mean? So around here, like in the South, yeah, they have the vinegar debate, the mustard debate with the barbecue sauces, right? Around here, we have I'm doing the cuisine bit now. We have sauces. Like just it's not barbecue sauce, but it's like marinara,
bolognese,
vodka, bolognese, like all the different types of like red sauces, pink sauces, white sauces.
Styles of food. You have individual styles in both the North and the South. But in the Midwest, what style do they even have out there?
Put like ketchup on a slice of American cheese.
No, like, do you have it? It's like Little Debbie or Hostess.
Oh,
it's like
I'm a Little Debbie partisan. I can't lie. I love a Little Debbie.
Well, it's like, do you want the muffin with the cream filling or a little cream swirls on top?
What's amazing about the Midwesterners is how they get so fat. The food just sucks.
Little Debbie or Hostess.
How do you get fat by like not having food worth consuming?
Corn syrup.
Are there different
syrup.
Styles of cornbread? I don't think there are. It's just cornbread.
Oh, we're going to get in so much trouble for this.
Well, cornbread isn't like even a Midwestern thing.
I'm tired of taking abuse. I'm tired of
Southern thing.
I'm tired of taking abuse as a New Yorker. Just per se. Like, I'm tired of this. Very disappointed in this movement. It's just like, they take like a piece of data like where you're from and ascribe all this negative shit onto you. Well, I would never do that to anybody.
Well, here's my thing.
Never.
My answer to that is,
the Northeast is proof that the liberals got one thing right, the food, though. But the thing is, like, they forget about the part, like, anybody.
Now I got to Google this. I got to know. What do they eat in the Midwest?
Anybody can learn to make it.
It's literally like meat and potatoes.
That's the other thing. Like, anybody can learn to, like, anybody can make a bolognese.
You can Perkins.
Your grandma just tells you how do you make the bolognese, and suddenly, I mean,
it's hard.
My wife can make amazing Mexican and Italian food.
Chicago-style hot dog.
I get...
No, that's not you. That's the South.
Well, yeah, in Chicago, they figured out that you can put things besides mustard on a hot dog. Oh, we invented a whole thing!
Yeah.
Oh, you can put a
pizza
this
right
one's
either.
Got a pickle on it!
They don't get pizza
anything
right either
on
in
a
Chicago.
Stick. Oh, so they fucking invented, like, circus food here.
Yeah. Not so many
bison
words.
Burgers.
All right, okay. Bison burger's pretty good.
Right, but did they invent that? It's just a burger. Where was the burger?
What is a Juneberry pie?
I don't know. That sounds like something Southern, though.
It does sound Southern. Juneteenth berry pie.
Juneteenth pie.
I don't know.
It's supposed to be drawing its influences from, like, Northern and Eastern Europe.
Well, you know what? Actually, Northern Europeans eat a lot of
lutefisk.
Fish. Yes,
fish. Do they have water in the Midwest?
No, that's a problem.
Well, I guess there's those Great Lakes, but they're like
they
all
don't
the way
have
at
the. Top. But I'm sorry, like freshwater fish are gross to eat.
Well,
like,
is that a thing?
No, think about it.
I don't really like fish, so
I don't really. I don't like fish. I do like shellfish. Some people are the opposite. But even so, the best fish that you eat, are
ocean fish,
saltwater fish. Freshwater fish are kind of gross. They're like bottom sucking.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And catfish is fucking, I'm sorry, one thing I'll say, Southern's catfish
is
fucking
gross.
You're
going to really piss off a bunch of niggers talking like that about fish being gross.
Well,
niggers love to fish.
They like to, they fish in stagnant pools of water for like
they
bottom
will fish
suckers.
In a mud puddle.
Yes.
We go noodling, right?
And I'm sorry, the things you catch.
2 inches of water here, time to throw in a line.
Like catfish niggers are fucking disgusting.
I thought you'd jump into the like the mud hole where the catfish are. You just shove your arm, and they just like you come out like.
That's only a thing for reality TV shows.
Oh, all right.
What do they call that?
Noodling.
That is. First of all, didn't they make that illegal?
Oh, I wouldn't know.
First of all, I wouldn't want to do that.
I live in a civilized part of the country where it's not necessary to make that illegal. Because
Like I know what's in there. There's snapping turtles and shit, and I don't want to be reaching my hands into holes and things underneath like tree roots.
Oh God, imagine noodling a fucking snapping turtle. That would be like.
No, I'm not going down into some fucking swamp.
You end up in a Jodorowsky
movie. In some swamp in fucking Louisiana and put my hand in a hole underwater. I don't know what the fuck is coming out of there.
You don't want to roll in a Jodorowsky film?
Even if it is a catfish, I still don't want it. Because it's fun. Catfish are fucking disgusting. They're gross. The meat is all like this white. It's like this white. It looks like it's. Oh God, it's disgusting. Sorry,
oh, man. I'd be so mad about this.
He's not wrong.
Well, do you
guys
like catfish?
Talked about freshwater fish being disgusting?
Niggas, I don't care if niggas are mad. Niggas
honestly,
are gonna be mad
I never
at me
really
about
thought
a lot
about
of
it.
Oh, well, this is a conversation I've had many times before. That freshwater fish are gross. Now. I think it could also be that freshwater fishing is associated with poor people.
Ooh,
let's be honest, most
stigma.
Most nigger habits are actually things they just ripped off from poor white people, frankly, including their accents.
That is true.
Like they niggerified them a little bit, but a lot of
they basically just have all like oldie time cracker accents.
Yeah, but like not the rich accent, like
right?
The,
cracker,
yeah,
or
yeah,
the
yeah,
specific yeah. English.
And they took their names
too. The rednecks.
Yeah. Like when you hear someone's name Billy Bob or Billy Ray or Jesse Lee or things like that.
So you'd be Quantavious.
Redneck or nigga. Right. But that's the thing.
Emperor Lucius.
Yeah.
Lucius Jackson.
That's that. Well, my question was this. Somebody was saying this at the Christmas party because I said, well, where did niggers get the idea of giving themselves these Roman aristocratic names? I was like, did their slave masters give them those names? I'm wondering.
I don't know.
It's another one of these things where I don't know the answer.
I was wondering if they were just watching sword and sandal movies in like the 20th century.
I kind of
and
doubt
so
that,
recent.
Though. I don't think that they were.
Because when did that become a thing where they have like these crazy.
Well, they took the Roman names and they made them niggery.
They made their own. Yeah.
There was a period where they were like Marcus.
It seems like that's recent, though. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they were Marcus. They're never Mark. They're always Marcus.
I think Marcus is a great name, but like if you couldn't name a kid Marcus now because everyone thinks they're a nigger. I mean, Mark is just Marcus, right? Like, that's just the same. It's the same, effectively. The same.
I don't know, man. It's just bonus content.
Anyway, yeah, this is kind of silly content. I don't really... I think it's like there's a lot of different food styles among white people. And the thing is, like...
And ours is the best.
Yeah, one of the reasons I think that...
Uncle Sam can go scratch.
The kind of Midwesterners and Northern Midwesterners in America don't really have a distinctive food style is because actually a lot of them come from parts of Europe where what they eat a lot of is fish. And they are not able to, like I know in Minnesota, for example, people being from Norway, you know, in Norway they eat fish all the time because there's so much coastline in that country. There's no coastline in Minnesota.
Is there a dish in Minnesota that it's like famous for?
Lutefisk, which is just the Norwegian thing.
The answer is no.
Which they have to get imported.
Like, you know, if you go to Chicago, you can get the pidzer. What do you get in like the Twin Cities?
Lefse.
That's just Norwegian shit, right?
No, another Norwegian thing. My mom used to do these Christmas treats with lefse, which is like a potato tortilla, right? It's like a flattened potato thing.
That sounds good.
No, it is good. They're really good. And what you do is you rub butter on it and then put sugar and then roll them up into little rolls.
Huh.
And they were like little. And dude, I'm telling you, you could slam like dozens of them at Christmas time.
Sounds like I fucking could.
Yeah. They're just like little. They almost are like little candies. But they're really good, like the little lefse rolls. And that's apparently a Norwegian
thing. These are little candies.
So, but it's like...
So apparently the thing with the freshwater fish versus saltwater fish are saltier and they have a stronger flavor, but really what that means
they've been marinating
is that you gotta...
They've already been just been cooking, right? Yeah, they've been marinating in a salty sauce, right?
Right. I mean, it's like you got. I guess you got to use more seasoning with saltwater fish, and because the freshwater fish have a milder flavor, you don't have to get as crazy with it. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
So it seems like a toss up to me.
What kind of freshwater fish do people eat? I don't eat fish.
You eat the bass?
Yeah.
The big mouth bass, the trout?
Trout, bass, perch.
Trout's pretty good.
Can you eat crappies?
Because, I mean, that's the thing, is there's different types of freshwater fish. Freshwater fish from fast-flowing rivers versus, like, stagnant, disgusting swamps.
What is salmon?
That, to me, is the difference.
Is salmon a freshwater? Because they swim up, yes. They swim upstream?
Yes. Yeah. Salmon would be a freshwater river fish.
I thought they spawned in freshwater, but they live in
saltwater.
Some fish can live in
both.
They
do stink and taste terrible, so it makes sense that they live in saltwater. Oh, God.
Some people like it, but
I cannot stand it. Like, this is exactly, like, this is like the... Like the ideal form of like a bad fish smell is salmon. It's like, this is how I imagine all fish taste like. It's like, oh, it tastes like fucking fish in here.
I just can't even eat it. I can't even get in
there. And they put it on a charcuterie board and give it to you. Like,
yeah,
we cooked it on this fucking
slice.
We got this plank of decking that we cooked it on, and you're just like, oh, that makes it better. Oh no, it's like soaking up the wood fiber.
With fish, is I don't like those little bones, man.
Oh yeah, you could die.
Yeah, I don't like that.
No, I don't like it. I don't like any of it.
Is there any actual content we could do for bonus content?
Some people like fish, and that's fine. I don't really care what people like for food, though. It doesn't, unless you're eating like stupid, like.
Dude, you know what? Another thing that annoys me too is aggressive signaling about how good deer meat is. Deer meat is not good.
Deer meat sucks. I hate it.
Deer meat is.
I've never truly enjoyed it. Every time I've had it, I've been like. But I always pretend like I like it because I don't want to insult.
Do you know why? It's because deer, unlike cows, they spend their lives running.
They're actually running
things.
Around, yeah.
So they're built like marathon runners. Their meat is not anything like a cow.
But well, it's not like, why you need to like.
But it's like when somebody hands you the venison, it's like
you have to pretend like it's good.
A person went and actually did something for it.
Right. That's why you have to pretend like it's good. Yeah. Like I said, every time I've eaten it, I've said
and that
it's
something
good
is like I sat in a treehouse for 5 hours and waited.
The real thing there
I wore an orange vest.
The real thing there is like
I say
enjoy...
things like 30-06, which I had no idea that was AUGHT for the longest time. They were referring to the zero. I was like, wasn't OT like an OT? Like, was 30-06? OX 6? What's
oh, you didn't know that 30
OX Nation?
You didn't know that that's how that was spelled.
I'm just making things up to be funny.
Well, like I said, I think a lot of the
you
reason
just go
is
with it,
people
sort of
like the hunt.
Questioning my intelligence.
And the animal you kill in a hunt is a deer because they're everywhere and they're allowed to kill them. And so you do. And then you're like, I killed it. I really shouldn't just be a murderer. I should eat this as well.
Is it hunting if you're just sitting in a tent all morning, though?
It's a form of hunting. It's like a form of hunting. Yeah.
You know, my dad's version of hunting is he would look out his back window and then he'd just pick one. And then he'd blast it, and he'd drive his tractor out there and pick it up.
I just feel like you should be stalking them for a while, hiding in the bushes, like, slithering along. It's like I've been following this deer for about 5 miles. I haven't shot it yet. I know, it doesn't work that way.
I like deer jerky, but see, deer jerky, it's been seasoned.
That's true.
It's been heavily seasoned. I mean, people should just, I mean, there's nothing wrong with eating deer, right? But you got to be real with yourself. It is gamey.
Yeah, it's tough. And
that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Don't be mad. You know it's true. You know that shit does not taste like
no,
a steak.
Be mad. We're trying to make everybody mad on this episode. Everyone be mad.
If I make people mad, I at least want to make them mad over something substantive. I don't want people to be mad over like food and stuff like
that.
Well,
I don't really care about any of this. I'm just doing a bit. Because honestly, like,
now,
because like I never, like, you ever have a tough time, like, weird food. I used to get sad when like Europeans would do like the ethnic bickering. It's like, bro. Like, you know, you're, like, overrun with, like, Pakis and Africans. Can you just get over, like, the...
Well, I don't get sad about it. I'm like, this is what they took from you. Like, this isn't... The problem is ethnic inter-European bands have no significance anymore because of all the big problems with non-white races.
Didn't they used to, like, lead to wars that lasted decades? Like,
I don't think the bands over food did.
All right.
I think that was more like...
Bands over, like,
issues
Jesus.
Over borders and, like, imports and trade
Thank God.
And resources and whether or not Jews were running your economy or...
I understand it better when it's like the ethnic mix, the different regions of the United States like start talking shit.
Yeah, I mean,
get upset.
Yeah, no, but the problem is any
it's
region
also fully,
of the United States.
It's also totally understandable.
Any region of the United States has like plenty of shit that can be banned.
except our region. We're perfect.
I would hesitate.
That's the kind of grind set you got to go in with.
Total
Giga Chad authority. My regional differences are far superior to yours.
I mean, if New York is so good, how come nobody wants to live there?
Because there's niggers here.
Well, that's there you go.
Without the niggers, but that's the whole country now. It's like, why does anyone live in America? There's niggers here. True. Right?
Well,
you just might not have tent city heroin niggers yet, but you've definitely got
I'll tell
niggers.
You what, it took an entire political establishment to to do this, though. It
took an entire, post-war...
took many, many years and...
post-war paradigm for how you look at and replacing all your religions with not being racist in Star Wars.
Quite the work there.
Don't be racist and love Luke Skywalker. Anger, fear, hate leads to the dark side. Then you'll have a red lightsaber and a black helmet, and you'll be a bad guy.
Right. You'll be like a Nazi. Remember to think that any kind of racial feeling, if you're a white person, means gassing everyone else in the world.
I mean, for me, it does mean that.
Thanks to George Lucas, red is evil and blue is good.
Did somebody say that? Is that a red?
That's just like a common critique of his very simplistic moral universe.
Can't stop eating the toffee.
Red bad, blue good.
But green is also good. Because remember, Luke's lightsaber was green.
That was when he was an apprentice, right?
No, so when he made himself, when he was an apprentice, it was
green.
Blue.
It's kind of neutral.
Huh.
In Jedi, his lightsaber was green. Because he made it himself, the new one. It was when he had Obi-Wan's, that was blue. When he made his own, it was.
Well, he's just trying to be a special snowflake.
Wait, right? He's being gay. It's like why are you
the original lightsaber? Obi-Wan had was just kind of whitish with a little
It was like a blue tint. It was like a blue tintish, blue tinted white.
I think you've been special edition,
my
friend.
Sort of like an LED. Yeah.
I think you've been special edition.
I don't know. I don't even care.
I know. I'm surprised this came up.
So but into that.
I don't actually like the critique that it was like a simplistic moral universe. I'm like, what's wrong with that? Like, if he wants to tell an overly simplistic moral universe story, that's fine.
That is actually
so you get the print.
Very good point. Like, why the whole point of not having a simplistic moral universe is so Jews can complicate everything.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So we have a bunch of anti-heroes. Do you think anti-heroes are more interesting? I don't think so.
No. I'm
anti-heroes
a good guy, but I'm also a dick.
Can be more interesting, but they're also stupid. They can be overdone. There's sometimes when the other thing is the idea that the hero is always Dudley Do-Right isn't true either, right? Like the hero isn't always necessarily but then when you pretend that was the case, and then you stand up sometimes anti-heroes are okay. Like I'm not totally against the idea. Or even the idea of subverting expectations and subverting tropes and things like that. That's all fun. The problem is that when the real problem isn't tropes. The real problem is that the entire entertainment industry is run by Jews. The problem isn't that people fall back on this or that trope, because that's always going to happen. I mean, when you see the problem is the only kind of fiction you're going to read that Goy's write is you only get novels anymore.
I'm not hearing any Midwest bands in this whole subject, so I think
they were pushing this anti-hero thing as the novel idea, and then before you knew it, it was nothing but anti-heroes, and eventually this turned into wow, everybody just sucks. I hate all these characters.
Well, the fantasy genre that's happened now too. Everything is grimdark. Now there's grimdark, which is fine, but they've changed it, and it's not just that. It's
going to just now. My characters are unlikable.
Right, that's the thing. There's no one to like anymore. They that was actually the problem people had with Game of Thrones. Was that,
I hated
every character.
Every character
fucking
every character
sucked.
In that show. I just wanted them all to die.
Other than
care.
Ned Stark, who dies.
Well,
right
he
away.
Dies season one. Spoiler, and he's gone. I'm like, oh. So it's gonna
after
be
that,
one.
You don't like anyone.
So my expectations.
Jon Snow is a fucking faggot.
My expectations are subverted, and now I hate everyone.
Yeah.
Well, Jon Snow sucks because he died.
But he also sucks.
But he sucks. But it's like
then
you killed him,
life,
and then you have to bring him back to life. That's this is the hero now. You just decided. Oh shit! That guy was the only fucking semblance of a likable character I had.
The killing of him was so cheap. It's like you.
I don't even fucking remember it.
It was at
so
the point
dumb.
Where like. Everybody you loved died.
He should have just ended the show on good guys lost, Red Wedding, that's it. Ended,
it should have just
the book
been,
series.
Yeah, that would have been the best subversion of expectations.
I would have been mad if I read that, though, because I don't want... It's like, oh, so all this and my heroes are all in the fucking pool of their own blood at a wedding feast. Okay.
I really liked the Red Wedding in the book. I will be honest.
I didn't.
The first three books are great. They really are very good. And I actually did like some characters after Ned died. After my nigga Ned. Remember that guy? They killed my nigga Ned. That guy's YouTube career is probably over. That guy never went anywhere. He was trying to do like stuff for a long time, but no one actually. Right. Problem is, he was black and no one actually cared what he thinks.
We got to get back to the real show.
What?
This is bonus content.
We were talking about Bugman shit. Like, it says bonus content.
Yeah, but I just don't want to talk about bonus content or Bugman content. So I'm just going to cut it off and we'll do bonus content again later. Next or tomorrow.
That's all the bonus content was?
We've got a half hour so far.
We have to give them something.
We'll do a half hour again later, and we'll do an hour.
But that wasn't even content.
All that was content. That's all going in the show.
Right, but there was nothing substantive.
But it was still content.
Fine.
I mean, they're still gonna.
Like you mean it took up time?
Yeah.
All right. That's
essentially content.
So that's the threshold of working.
Okay. Right. Always has been. All right, bonus content part two. Go.
I can keep going.
Oh no, he was going to go. We can't keep doing.
Why not?
Because it wouldn't make narrative sense between episodes.
That's not a concern.
Yeah, that wouldn't work.
No, we have to do that on Wednesday.
There's a lot there.
We can move on to that on Wednesday, so that the derail goes on Monday's show, so that it's
God damn it,
not out of order.
But I feel like. People will want to tune in to people want to hear more Holocaust.
People want to tune into the bonus content because we keep saying there's bonus content and they don't know what it is and it's making them mad.
But if it's Holocaust now, they're going to love it.
They're not going to know that it's just Midwesterner hate.
I don't want to make them mad. I want to give them something that they're going to like.
What would make them mad is not give them a show on Monday. So we win. Alex, what's the derail?
It's not really a derail.
Probably interesting. Okay.
Oh, I know it is.
It really isn't. It's more just like more of an abstract development I've noticed, which is that as the media has gotten this full spectrum narrative control because they want to stomp out misinformation, they've ironically made the so-called misinformation problem worse.
Yes.
Because people now
absolutely
are deeply suspicious. Like my wife was telling me, for example, she was trying to Google about a case where somebody was denied medical care because they're white.
I saw that
and
as well.
Of course,
yes.
Google filters it, and then it gives you a Snopes article saying that, oh no, fact check, no, that's not true.
Well, we
but
we
then
have
you read the Snopes article,
true.
And it's like they just play semantics games,
right?
And then eventually you'll see, well, if you're higher risk, then you move to the front of the line, and if you're white, you're low risk,
right? So yes, that's exactly
the
game
call
they play.
They call that mostly false, but it's like, well, the reason why is the white person
why
at risk?
Is the classification
because he's white? It's like
so
there's no other factors.
Because
like,
you're white.
And this can happen because I just Googled, ended up on a Snopes page while we were doing the 8:33 hour one, or I think it was hour two, where I made mention of this meme about someone was making cyan black, and it's Coca-Cola, and of course I go look it up, and it's fake. It's a fake screenshot of a Coca-Cola tweet that never existed. Now, the grain of truth to it is they did some sort of production in Brazil where the plot was a black actor or something trying to play the role of Santa in something. And that was the only grain of truth to it at all, and it was all fabricated. So, of course, people were passing that around like crazy. Like, oh, my God, Coca-Cola this year, all their Christmas ads are going to be with a black Santa.
It's incredible, though. Yeah. That's something that like people wouldn't check because just believable.
But technically, that is a piece of disinfo that somebody did, and it feeds into everyone being skeptical of everything and nothing. You can't trust anything.
Yeah, and what they've actually done.
Whereas people are being denied to medical care because they're white.
That's true. We saw the video
a few weeks ago. Yeah,
we saw the guy call and get them to essentially confess that is their criteria. But Snopes even admits it in their own article. They admit it's true. They say,
but
people are not based on are not denied care based on their whiteness. They're denied care based on whether or not they're in a risk category or not. And I'm like, right. And they made white a so-called low risk category. So yes. They are being denied it because they're white. There's no way to get around it. Was that you say special pleading?
Snopes is basically doing special pleading,
right?
Like, no, it's not the same. No, this is different,
right? But it's like
no, it is literally racial discrimination. Right. They're just trying to repackage it.
And also, they could maliciously... The other thing is, like, if you let them get away with that shit and that semantic trick, well, they could just maliciously classify white people as low risk and then give them no health care, right? Like, that's the thing. If once you get that low risk, no risk, or once you get that as a metric for whether or not people get care, then and you will not allow them to... You will pretend in a totally... context denial, tactical nihilist way, that there is no malice here. You know, you're just going to let them get away with it. But the funny thing is that the same people who do that will read racism into every naturally occurring disparity with blacks.
Mm.
Right? So, like, if so-called disproportionate impact or disparate impact is an inherent sign of racism, even with no intentionality behind it, and intentionally classifying white people as so-called low risk in order to deny them things does not have any intention. It's just this is all nonsense. It's obvious that this is an anti-white system. It is obvious, right? It is dead obvious.
It's so anti-white that it makes bald-faced, bad faith attempts to make anti-white, it's just like empirical reality.
Right.
It just says
why not just admit it, right? Like, that's the thing. It's like, instead of lie, why not just acknowledge it? Well, the reason is because you can't, because you know that people would actually fight it if you came right out and said it. But all these ways of dancing around it make it a little bit easier. Like, today, again, I'm going to go back to 9gag. On 9gag today, so Jamie was arguing with somebody on 9gag, and he says...
This is throwback content now, because this is from last week.
Yes, from last week.
7 days ago, Jamie was on 9gag.
This isn't... Well, we're always going to be doing Jamie on 9gag content, right?
It's a subgenre. This is a week-old Jamie on 9gag meme.
Right. So he says to her, can you name the Jew, not just some random...
I can name the Jew.
Not just some random asshole who says that Europeans and Americans are not allowed to be proud of and protect their culture and heritage. And it's like, first of all,
Franz Boas,
we're not talking about Europeans and Americans. We're talking about white people. Okay, now, because again, when you don't make it specific, you give them room to wiggle. Now, I understand Europeans are white people. Oh, that's for sure, right? That's for sure. Americans, it's iffier, but I understand some people tend to identify an American as white. But I'm going to just be very clear and exact about it.
The guy in the tracksuit is white.
I'm going to be very clear and exact about it to make sure that people understand what exactly we're talking about. Because remember, when you say, like, when Jews say, and they do say, like, white people cannot organize or any pro-white activism is evil or, like, whatever, like, oh, white people have done all these historically bad things, and then conservatives come in, like, well, why are you attacking me as an American? It's like, they're not attacking you as an American. Attacking you as a white person.
Mm-hmm.
So they are always attacking on grounds of being white, and conservatives always want to defend on something else, on some other grounds. That's why I always want to isolate and identify
it's Christmas enjoyers.
Doing. Yeah, Christmas enjoyers, right? Christmas enjoyers. That's one. The middle class or whatever the fuck else, the other euphemisms they use. But my point, the thing was an interesting question, because they also put in not just some random idiot. I'm like, okay, so anybody who you say is going to be called a random idiot. But my real question is this. Is like, A, we're not talking about whether one individual said it. We're talking about the entire thrust of the system to where it doesn't really need to be said. Because here's my thing. If I say what I think, do you believe it or not?
Mm.
Or do you believe I have the right to do it? This is where you can trip these people up. Like, because it's the whole thing is what they want to do is deny that it's happening. And then when pressed, they justify it. So you always have to get them in that trap. You can't take these questions, these kinds of questions at face value. So when they say, which Jew says this, it's like, no. First of all, that is something that could be answered, but I'm not willing. All of them. I'm not necessarily willing to do that research. I'm like, well, first of all, the ADL is a Jewish organization. They say this. Okay, so right there we have a thing. Secondly, which Jew says the opposite? Which Jews support the preservation of white identity and European identity? Which Jews support that kind of thing?
I took a rain check on that one.
Zero. None. Secondly, my question for you, the libtard, is what do you think? Do you think it's okay? Like, let's leave out which Jew or not says this, right? Because the whole point is, like,
Do you say it?
Do you say it? Do you agree with it? And why do you agree with it? And if you don't, why? And if you don't, why are instead of saying that I myself am against white identity, European identity, I'm like, obviously that's gonna be quoted out of context, but instead for the libtard, instead of just owning it and saying, well, yes, I am against this. I don't think white people should be. Remember when we got Brendan O'Connor to just say that?
Yeah.
Like years ago, we actually got this dude to say it. Now, he didn't like the fact that he got tricked into saying it because they don't want to have to say it. Mm. That's what I'm saying. You have to make them say it. So when someone says, like, you're not even being oppressed on these grounds, like, okay, well, do you believe in it? Let's say white people, let's say a white nationalist movement got very big. Would you oppose it? Well, let's say just the white nationalist movement as it exists today. Are you opposed to it?
Do you like it?
So when you tell me I'm not actually being opposed or oppressed.
Do you think it exists? Do you think it's allowed to exist?
Yes. Should it exist? Not even do you think it's allowed to exist. Should it, in your opinion, exist?
That's what I mean.
Right.
Are you going to allow it to exist?
Or are you right. And if the libtard or the Jew you're talking to says, well, no, I'm like, okay, well, then you're the example of the person I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So when you yourself are like an avatar for an ideology or a promoter of it, and then you want to argue to me because you can't argue your point. Oh, you're just delusional. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really exist. No, it definitely exists. And this whole argument is part of it. Like, why? Who else do you tell? Do you tell blacks? You know who's not oppressed? Fucking niggers.
You're going to be referencing this bonus material on Wednesday, and no one's going to know what you're referencing. This is too important.
Oh. Right. Yeah, I'm going to reference
the narrative. The narrative sense will not be made until next week.
Well, that's that. Then we're kind of doing.
We've
like
done
a,
this before.
Doing it's like a lost thing.
Find it 3 days after Christmas, 2 days after Christmas. Oh, all right. That episode makes sense now. That's okay.
I think that this story
you derailed his derail.
No, I think it's the same kind of a thing that we're talking about here.
I was actually thinking about this more in terms of like I noticed that people are assuming that COVID vaccines are particularly malicious, and that's a natural assumption you make when you're not allowed to even have a reasonable skepticism about it.
Right. Yes. They left like, the room.
It's funny to me that they have made this problem for themselves by just disallowing any kind of dissension, any even reasonable dissension. Like, if you were to allow some debate on major issues, people would actually trust you a bit more. But now it's like, the system is demanding that I do this. So
the fix was definitely in when, like, someone like you – someone with your respiratory issues can't have a medical reason to not have the shot. Like, there's no example.
I also can't find out anything about
issues
you're like, with asthmatics and COVID.
Right, like, you're not
vaccine.
Allowed to ask, and you're not allowed to object on those. Right?
I asked the doctor this issue. I said, listen, like, because I'm not a COVID is fake person. I mean, in terms of the disease itself, the pathogen exists. I believe it's a
virus.
Right?
It'll make you sick.
So I was like, so I asked the doctor, I said, do I face, this was before we, you know, this was actually when
this
was vaccines.
A long time ago.
This was about a year ago before the vaccines were really rolled out. I said, like, what's my risk level here? Now, this is doctor was not malicious in any way. He's a friend. And he's like, you know, I don't know. There's no research on this.
Revoke that doctor's license immediately.
No, he's not going
to.
I mean,
you're supposed to say it's oh my God, dire. And honestly, like, it's more dire with people around you. This is irresponsible.
Well, what he said, that's a very good question. He said, I've actually had patients ask, and I don't know the answer because there's no research on this.
Nobody knows nothing, but if you... Because
doctors, you know, they defer to the research. They read the medical journals, and they see what is being said, and then that's how they are... That's theoretically how it's supposed to work, right?
Some of them, they just get their medical license, and then they stop ever looking at anything ever again.
Yeah, that's
I've been
true.
Doing it this way for 50 years.
Right. Well, some of them do that, but on something like COVID, you would think that they would like start reading it again. Right?
Let's go.
The interesting dimension to me is that if you go to try to find information due to what they've done with Google and search engines,
you can't.
Now you can't do it, and it's obvious that you can't do it when you try.
Yeah. Well, here's what I think is malicious about it. Because when you go to find information, you get redirected to a debate between two extremes.
Yeah.
That are retarded.
That happens too.
You get redirected to a debunking of something really kind of out there and extreme rather than the answer to your question. And so what that does is that actually makes people sort of, because they see like the Snopes and the Libtarded fact checking thing. First of all,
they do like I did earlier. You type in sterilizing immunity, and then you get a bunch of articles like deconstructing the idea of it. And I'm like, I'm just asking a clinical question.
Right.
Why are you redirecting me to six different links that are destroying the concept because it jeopardizes what they're trying to push with COVID vaccines?
Right. Like, well, maybe when you find yourself
obvious narrative control, and it's going to make anybody inherently suspicious of the entire thing. Which is funny because it's like you're making the problem worse.
The people that aren't suspicious are already like the authority believers, the authority trusters, right? And they will trust these are the same. They will repeat.
God, I would love to see how this would have like played out under like President Trump.
What are you talking about? He was president during half of it.
No, I mean like, but this stuff that's ramped up this last year and a half, I would love to see.
Oh, how they would cope with the fact that he's doing it.
Yeah. Or just like who the players would be playing what parts, like how much of a reversal would be going on right now? Would they be pretending that like the president is dragging his feet and begrudgingly going along with this liberal crap and he just can't stop it? But I guess there's no point in trying to do that because that's not how it worked.
Right.
Because it didn't work out that way.
But for a year, they did have Trump pushing all of this stuff. I mean, he wasn't.
Well, no, he wasn't. He was reluctantly going along with it, and he was complaining the whole way. He had this like fig leaf of. You know, like when he did the march.
I think he was just kind of silently doing it, letting people draw their own conclusions without
bringing
him into
the picture.
Right,
that's what I mean. He was not upset to be perceived as doing it that way. Right? His March 5th, the big March 15th, like shutdown of the schools. Like, do you remember his tone on that? He sounded like a beaten dog, like a defeated man.
Yeah.
And doing a thing he just didn't want to do. And he framed it as they're just trying to sabotage my $30,000 Dow. I don't
know if you
remember
that
stuff.
Yes, that was.
But he still did it all.
That was another thing that made me.
It was the same thing. It was the same with the riots. Like, oh, this is Biden's America. You the president, nigga. I just can't. These libs just won't let me stop these riots in their cities.
Fucking hilarious. There is a lot of cognitive dissonance about Trump and his role in this with the people that are like not trusters because they're still Trump trusters. I'm like, why would you be? Like, he did the first lockdown. He signed that order. Like he signed all these orders. Like he, and so
he tried to take credit for the fast tracking of the.
Yeah, and then he said I was the one that put the vaccine out there so fast, and we have these wonderful vaccines. Yeah, but they've actually to some extent he has lost people over that.
I would imagine.
Yeah, but yes, I think the issue is they have absolutely made the problem worse. I actually don't know that I necessarily think that's an accident. Like I'm very suspicious, a very fucking suspicious person.
Right?
When I see like narratives directed and going in certain ways, I don't assume that this is not malicious in some way, right? Like I think obviously the libtarded narrative is obviously malicious, but I think the debate that is built up around it also. It's one of these things where like ration, and it's not only on COVID. This is on many, many issues. On race, it's very similar.
The character of that I've noticed though is it's not even so much as like, well, here's the retards on the other side of the spectrum. Here's a fake debate. It's like they have sanitized a lot of this to the point where you don't even see that. You go to look for information, and it is all monodimensional. It's all going in one direction, and it's very obviously like. Arranged this way on purpose, and that is making people highly suspicious just in of itself the way it's structured,
right?
And this kind of mirrors we've talked before about like communist regimes, like, well, after a while people just stop believing the state media completely, and this is not a very good way to manage a population because eventually they just completely stop believing everything that you tell them. And it seems to be happening again.
I would love to know what the percentage of the population is that are just true, like full-on, like media believers.
It's not very high.
It's just funny because like they're so ardent.
Yeah, and this was an issue prior to COVID. Frankly,
they've been talking about controlling misinformation for years.
But it's never been this. This has never been this blatant.
Well, think about race. Think about the way they've talked about race for fucking years.
Well, race is mostly by omission when they do it. So it can slide by and not build, like, but this stuff that they do with a global pandemic, there's like, it's verifiably untrue, and it's not by omission. They seem to push, they seem to flex their narratives in your face. Like, yeah, this is obviously bullshit, but here's what we're putting out, and you can flex your muscle by believing it with us. And then they turn around to like the skeptical conservator and be like, yeah, why don't you believe this?
Omicron is, it's just exploding in cases, and you need to get a third booster shot, even though it doesn't work.
These vaccines, we're not seeing good efficacy.
They don't even seem to really try to give you three more. Yeah. They don't seem to even really try to give you evidence for any of these type of claims.
They don't give you evidence. They don't give you a rationale for it.
They just, and when they fact check, they only reference another authority.
Yeah.
Like the fact checker, if somebody says like, well, here's my question. Like, what if you make this thing that's not an assertion about COVID itself, but about the lack of information coming from authorities? If you say like,
that's
say,
disinfo too, I believe.
No, of course it'd be classified as such, but I'm saying like, what if I were to say like, look, I have not seen coming out of any of these people making pronouncements, any evidence regarding what, how they detected Omicron, how many cases they are, the severity and vaccine efficacy of it. I've not seen them say any of this stuff. Like, I just haven't seen any of it, right? I don't know where to see it. Where could I see it? You would then be like, fact check, false. The CDC says that is effective. I'm like, that's not my fucking question. Yeah. Right? Like, it's like, no, an assertion is in evidence. It's an assertion. So I want to know, where are you getting this? How do I know? This is always my question. Like, and it annoys people. I understand. People get very irritated with me because I do like to do this with stuff. How do you know that? Where are we getting it? It's very useful sometimes, but it can piss people off too. But yeah, like they, you know, the thing about the race narrative in this is I would say that that is so assumed, and there's really no, there's actually no opposition to it. I mean, from any kind of, like, everybody assumes it, right? But it's totally false. The funny thing about that, though, is that I was talking about this with Jamie this morning. If you want to do more on this, I can wait and tell what I was talking about with her, which I think is very interesting, actually.
I'm sure it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, how are you tying this into the race issue? Because the race stuff is also, like, monodominant, one direction, and it's on both the right and left side of the spectrum. Like, they've got that stuff locked down tight.
Right. And it's so tight that it's an assumption that there's not even an argument, but there's a big argument. But the funny thing is that despite censorship, think about this, despite the censorship and everything online, race realism is, like, I don't know how to put this, like, nobody with a straight face, like, remember when you used to debate this on Facebook a lot?
Yeah. Remember when they used to let you debate this on Facebook?
Right. And it's, maybe this is a side effect. I could be sort of misinterpreting. This might be a side effect of the censorship of any kind of discussion of this. But it seems that there's just nobody online individually willing to, now you get still like official pronouncements and stuff, but there's nobody out there willing to take up this cause online in debates. And like, race realism, basically, it's not even, nobody's out there. You don't see as many, you know, autistic, long-winded posts about it. But I feel like it's a background assumption of like most of the online conversation anyway. In other words, they're not really, they've so thoroughly lost that debate.
It's interesting that they've managed to censor that off the internet as black crime has skyrocketed.
Yeah, but like, when
as
you
it's gotten
see
demonstrably
what
worse,
people say, like when you get to, when you go to those places, and even in like Breitbart or like Daily Mail comments and things like that, you see it. Like, you know, everybody, nobody does the bit of like blacks are equal anymore. No one does it. Like, you don't see people defending that point.
You literally see blacks are obviously unequal. Look at a bunch of criminals they are, and they say like, blacks are obviously unequal. That's why we have to do this equity bit and not charge them cash bail.
We
have to let them into Harvard without.
I guess my point
SAT
is sort
scores.
Of like, I feel like they've like kind of they that's
it's
one
like
where
they've separated the sides of the discussion. It just doesn't happen. The discussion just doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah,
I just take it as read.
But like, when you just look, I'm just saying, when I read internet comment sections,
to the extent that they still exist.
To the extent they still, that's the other thing, to the extent they still exist. Like, it feels like that debate is just, there is no more race realism debate. Like, everyone has, it's almost like they've
conceded
it.
It's a huge
loser. What I saw with, like, Fox News, for example, if you go comment on some black crime article and you're like, yes, this nigger,
it's just
everybody's
just
gonna agree with you.
Everyone's like, just like, this is just how black are. Like, like, it's so funny that as the conservative party, as the Republican Party is making, like, negrophilia part of their platform, like, individual people are like, don't give a shit. Like, you used to, conservatives used to really cope on that. They don't. They're just like, yeah, no, blacks and crime, like, whatever. Like, it's the people that don't like it. Like, I was talking about my experience at the barber the other day, where, like, the three customers were totally happy to talk about blacks, and the barber herself, who was probably, because she's a small business person, was like a conservative activist, she was just constantly not wanting to talk about it. and I was like, you know, she was doing the, I don't care what race, and I was like, well, I care. Like, I was like, well, here's the thing, I don't care about race, like, yeah, but yet who robbed the pharmacy?
You don't have to care about, like, what race the person robbing, but you know what race he was.
When I see conservatives doing that and those narratives, like, I know that they're shills. Like, well, I know they're political.
Here's the obvious example. Everybody's caught on to this one. When the media reports on a crime, they don't tell you the race. Now everyone is trained to assume it's a black person.
Right.
The media has trained them to do this.
I don't know if it's trained. Like, I think people assume it because of observations.
Yeah. Well, you've been trained to see it this way because of those observations.
Here's a funny example. When they're talking in New York City a little while ago, here's another New York City regulation here. New York City
is the center of the world.
Change. Well, that's one of the reasons we always talk about it, right? No, it's true.
Your shitty part of the country doesn't matter.
The reason we always end up talking about it is because it's where they do stuff. Like, a lot of stuff happens there. And
there's a reason you live in flyover country. I'm just still fighting this fight for no reason whatsoever.
So what they said was,
it's terrible in flyover country.
It's just fly. That's why you fly over it. Unfortunately,
I'm not.
Unfortunately, you fly over it. You can smell the food coming from it. Like, oh God, fly faster.
I'm not okay with this.
Roll up the windows.
This is like subverting.
I am obviously being outrageously sarcastic and not. I don't mean
anyway. That. So the rule was, when there's a crime, the police cannot announce over the police band the race of the suspect. And so I was like, well, like, white people can now just commit crimes. Because everyone's going to, because in the edge case, when it's not black, when it's not a nigger.
What do they do, like, eye color, hair color instead?
And
like,
clothing.
Black hair, yeah, black eyes.
They say tall, brown hair, and they describe the clothing and the color of the clothing. And so, but the point is, like, so that means that if you're a nigger wearing those clothes, like, you're going to get stopped. Yeah. Because that's what I'm saying. Like, when you don't mention race over the police band, and when you're calling out a suspect description, well, then the assumption that it's black, right? I mean, why bother? In a way, it's like, why bother? In New York City, why actually
New York City,
bother?
Do you need to announce the race over the phone?
Well, I mean, in fact, you really band? Don't.
Everybody
but
knows.
It's like there's possibly a couple of edge cases
might be a
every
squat.
Year.
Might be an Ecuadorian, like,
yeah,
or something.
It could be a Puerto Rican or something like that, right? Yeah.
That's basically what
it is. Why is Puerto Ricans now going to get away
are
with
Puerto
crimes?
Ricans even still bad? I feel like they've graduated. Like, they've been here long enough. Now it's the Ecuadorians and the Guatemalans. And those Mexicans don't even speak Spanish. They speak, like, what language from, like, a Mel
those
Gibson guys, movie.
Those people aren't, like, criminals. They're, like, Jaguar illegals paw. That, like, hide. They, like, hide in there. They're, like, they're not out there. Like, the
you never know.
Well, that the crime they've committed is illegal immigration.
Yeah,
but a lot of the sort of criminal the
I wonder what their
the mistakes
like.
That are engaging in like
Why
organized criminal mistakes? Behavior and stuff are like mistakes. There are like mixed race Indian people, but not Pidgey Indian.
Oh shit! I had a joke about FTN's like the Spix not liking mistakes or mestizo anymore. What was it? Latinx. They didn't like Latinx.
Do they like mistakes?
Well, I don't think they like mistinks, but they get to be called mistinks no matter what.
That's our thing.
Mistinks.
Mistinks.
But no, they don't like Latinx. They're taking that away. But I had bands for it. I forgot what it was.
Well, what do they want now? What do they want to be called?
They just don't want Latinx. They want their gendered language.
Oh,
Latino,
oh okay. Well, sorry, you don't get that.
No, you get
mistinks. You have to fight with liptards about that.
Yeah, that's who they were fighting with, apparently. But I forget what kind of gag
Maybe I can't exactly articulate like where I feel like, in a way, the absence of a race debate does mean it's sort of like it means you assume, like, in the absence of a COVID debate, people are like, well, then obviously this virus is just intended to kill me. In the absence of, like, a race debate, everyone's like, well, okay, obviously all criminals are niggers. Like, you know.
Yeah.
But, the thing is, that ultimately, in terms of the race debate, at least, ultimately you're going to get to that conclusion. But, like,
I find it interesting how it's a feedback loop that's actually creating a massive discrediting of the entire media establishment. And unfortunately, the challenge is if you're going to have an alternative media, you need it to not be full of crazy people, grifters, loons. Because look at the alternative media and it's insanity.
That's the whole problem, isn't it? This whole system that has no legitimacy left whatsoever. But the people that don't like it are so disparately, they need to be organized into something that can make the system go away.
And that is one of the things that has been my concern about this, is that because of the fact that we are not competing with the libtard media. We are actually in the sphere where those kind of people, the people that, because again, that's the other thing. When there is no rational discussion, then anybody can say whatever, right? It's like
no rational discussion at all.
Becomes an irrational discussion.
Yeah, and rational discussion starts to become, to some of those people, to appear to be suspect. That I don't like either. Like, I think
sussy.
Right? We should have rational discussion about this. There has to be a rational discussion.
Like if I were to say, for example, COVID vaccines don't seem to work according to their own data.
Yeah, they just don't.
I don't see any reason why you would get one. It's probably risky. It's probably a dangerous product. We just don't know exactly what all the dangers are yet. I don't see a reason to take this. People will say, well, what about the graphene nanobots and what about the sterilization?
No, like, there's no nanobots. Please.
We don't need to go there.
Well,
please, no nanobots.
Well, why wouldn't you, though? I mean, that's my point, is like...
Or Decepticons.
The issue is like, yes, my take has always been...
My vaccine transforms into a truck.
My take has always been the vaccine...
It's the nanobots.
...does not seem to work, and based on that...
Where does the vaccine's trailer hide the
whole time? Why would you need to go further? You're telling people just, hey, this doesn't make sense, and you're giving them a very reasonable argument, based on their own data, by the way.
You need the nanobots to fight the Omicron. That's what it's all about. They are trying to save us.
Omicron versus nanobots.
You got the Omicron and you need the nanobots.
I think the next variant is going to be Quintexicon.
Fuck.
They're like remember the Quintexicons? They're like those floating heads.
Let's see. We had this Holocaust historian. It was fucking Alex Bay. We got Michael Bay doing Decepticons in your fucking bloodstream.
Dude, check this out. So the guy who made the Quora post name is Alex Mann. He references Alex Bay. And then there's also Michael Mann and Michael Bay.
Fuck! This is too much.
And they're both Hollywood directors.
Yeah.
We're going to have to call an end to hour one of conspiracy. Hour one of Bonus Media. Let's stop now. My mind is too blown.
Michael Bay. It's crazy.
You have Michael McNabb anywhere? Michael McNabb, Alex McNabb?
There's probably a Michael McNabb. Probably a dick.
But even beyond...
Watch, he's a listener. Hey,
no docs.
Well, I say that because I feel like Scott's Irish, hillbilly people are like inherently foul tempered.
Oh, fuck.
And I'm not. That's not an insult.
Shit. I think we had a horse.
That is not an insult.
We had a horse and buggy joke that we didn't do on the show.
God damn it.
What were you talking? Like, there's something that sounded like Tartarian.
Oh, hero cop Nick Tartaglione.
Yeah. You think horse and buggy people could strangle like Epstein like that?
Cop and buggy people? Like the
horse and buggy people could strangle Epstein like that?
Tartaglione theory. It's like the whole history of Jeffrey Epstein was rewritten. Well, that's actually true.
It's
true.
Tartaglione theory.
The Tartaglione theory. First of all, I have to tell you.
God, no one's going to be mad at us until
next
week now.
The whole history of Nick Tartaglione was rewritten. Because I don't think he's dead. Somebody told me he died. You know, here's what you get. This is what happens when you don't fact check in a rational way.
Yeah.
Somebody just told me that Tartaglione was dead. And I was like, that makes sense.
Cool.
And then he died of COVID or something like that. I was like, okay, I guess so.
They
could have just killed him. But then it's like...
The Autobots got him.
It doesn't seem like he's dead.
No, the Autobots
didn't. And again, I can't find any... I was looking and it's not clear either way.
Mm.
Also, now one thing I did believe is they were saying like... They were putting this guy in solitary confinement and shit and punishing him a lot. And I'm thinking like... Did this guy
He's into that?
Well, no. I think what happened is he actually was, like, abusing. I think he was actually punching Jeffrey Epstein's up. He didn't kill him because they're saying Epstein killed himself. But he was his cellmate for a little while, and he was actually, like, beating him up. And I'm like, so there was this punishment for that. It's like, no, you don't.
All right, it's time to go.
Yeah, okay.
We have to go.
Hashtag Leone Theory. We'll do history.
We'll do more.
Jeffrey Epstein has been rewritten.
We'll do more bonus material when we do the Wednesday show. Wednesday.
More onus material?
December 23rd. Oh, don't you have... Oh, we can't do the announcement because it's bonus material. You didn't do the announcement on Monday.
Shit.
Do you want to just announce it now and confuse everyone?
But there's no point.
All right. I mean... The point would be to confuse
everyone. Did I announce it?
No, you didn't.
Fuck.
You told me you wanted to, and I just remembered.
I forgot.
I'm sorry. So did I. I just thought of it now. It would be funny to announce it now when it's not relevant.
We're doing a...
Like tomorrow, December 21st.
Yeah, December 21st, we're doing a fundraiser for Media to Rise and NJP.
It's like instead of Strike and Mike or something?
Yeah, well, we can't...
But you already know that.
5 hours, so like, yeah, we can't not.
So you already know.
Unless we failed.
Yeah, maybe it didn't happen. Maybe it didn't work. We don't have a time machine.
We might have fucked up
this
badly.
This is bonus material. You can't hold us to our word on bonus material.
Yeah.
Because it's still Monday, December 20th, 4:13 p.m.
Yeah, and I actually have to go work out shit for that.
You're going
to
work out?
No, I'm not going to work out. The work thing, I have to do stuff for that.
Oh, I did a bunch of pull-ups this morning. It was pretty good.
What's this?
Oh, an email from Kodo. You must be a special man. All right. Bye, everyone.
They're selling masks.
It's recording. Boom.
Okay. Bonus Venus content?
Venus content. Bonus content.
What did you want? We want to do this video.
Yeah, okay. You know, I'm fascinated with, like, the heat death of the Jewish entertainment universe in the United States. Like, I'm fascinated with how everything is nostalgia. I saw this.
What I did last night?
Huh?
I went to a movie last night for the first time in years.
You did not go see The Matrix, did you?
No.
Oh, thank God.
What did you see?
I saw Nightmare Alley, I believe it is.
I don't even know. I never even heard of that before.
It was actually enjoyable to just go to a film and watch it in a theater. And now that I think about it, there's only one black guy in the entire movie.
This is the most disturbing thing I've heard all day.
Yeah, it was like it was set in the 1930s. Yeah.
In the whole movie? I thought you were saying there's only one black guy in the theater. So your viewing experience...
No, there were none in the theater.
Oh, so that's why you had an enjoyable viewing experience.
Well, there was almost no one in the theater.
That's another reason. So it's like your own private, huge... It's like your private...
My God.
Home theater. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
Except you can't pause the movie if you have to take a piss.
Right. It would be great if you could.
I didn't have to. I had a bunch of salty popcorn.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, that's why they give you popcorn.
I ate popcorn. I had a drink. I was there with a friend of mine. We watched a movie, and it was a good time.
So wait, hold on a second. I have just... realized, is that why they give you popcorn?
So you don't got
to
piss?
So you get thirsty and buy a drink?
To retain all the water? Oh. Yes, you get thirsty and buy more drink.
I mean, that's exactly what I expect from the movie theater industry. Because they're charging
you,
isn't
that why bars put, like, the bowls of peanuts and pretzels out so you get thirsty? Oh, give me all the beer.
They're trying to make sure that you get your fiber so that your bowel movements
maybe also so you don't have to constantly piss, because then it's like, yeah,
you missed the movie.
If I have to constantly pee... Well, if you had to constantly pee, you might just, like, go home at some point.
Actually, dude, now that I think about it, that was kind of amazing, because that was a 2.5-hour film. That was one of my complaints, is they took a decent script, a decent plot, and then filled 2.5 hours with it.
Somebody put a 2.5-hour film, and they put it in theaters in 2020.
It was a horror film? 2.5 hours?
I wouldn't call it a horror.
Nightmare Alley, what else would it be? It
sounds horrible. Well, there was a black guy in it. You want to go down that alley. Oh, there's a
it's
nigger.
It's more like a
alley.
Film noir, sort of.
Yeah, because it has a noir man in it.
Yeah, it has a white male lead.
Is it noir just French for nigger?
It's like dark.
It's
like
film nigger.
Like black film, dark film. Yeah. I thought it was like film new, but that would be nouveau. Or new.
Film noob?
Like film just noob, a, yes.
Just
you're
just
noobs.
A new.
It's like Pepe memes. And
bonus
like,
content's the best. Bonus content's the best. Yeah. That's what we do. I was watching, go ahead before we move on to my thing, because I do have prep, but you were going to say something?
I wasn't going to say anything. I'm just sort of, what is, I've never heard of Nightmare Alley. See, you know, it's right on Med Letter Media. That's really funny.
Med Letter Media? Is Johnny Johnny and Stryker doing movie reviews?
Med Letter Media. Oh, God, can you imagine them two? Dude, that would, we only one time did a show with the two of them, and Just opposite worldviews smashing into each other. But like, funny, because they're both meds and they're both short. Media. Like, these two short meds can't agree. Two short meds. Remember 30 Helens agree? It's like two short meds do not agree.
30 Helens agree. Was that Monty Python?
That was Kids in the Hall.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God.
That was actually a funny show.
Hmm.
That was a funny show back in the day. There's probably subversion in it. In fact, I know there was. The High Five and White Guys were absolutely subversive.
They're all gay, weren't they? Were the Kids in the Hall all fags?
One of them was. Oh, the guy who played a fag was definitely a fag. It might have been one of them.
But then he just spread his fag loving like, all over Canadian. That show. Like, running faggot, running faggot.
Right, which was like not actually anti-faggot.
Right.
I remember Saturday Night Live did this sketch once with, remember that guy Matthew Modine?
I remember Matthew Modine, yes.
He was the guest star, and they did a thing called Running Liberal. It was during the 80s, and it was like, it was really stupid. It was like it was like a family, like Phil Hartman was the head of the family, like the father of the family, and they were like saying their prayers before they ate, and the wife said, "Let's now, as we take this meal, not forget all the people out there who are too poor, are hungry and poor," and he's like, "Excuse me, because they're lazy." Like, which actually was really funny. And then like Matthew Modine comes, he's like, "Stop. No, they're poor because of systemic issues." And then he's like, he's like, "Get out of here, liberal." And then he like runs. And it was actually like funny, but they were making fun of, they were that's obviously funny. Glorifying the libtard in right. the sketch. There was funny. It's one of those things like you laugh, but then you're like, I shouldn't. Because, although, you know, conservatives are really stupid, but, like, I'm still not making libtards smart, right? That doesn't mean that the libtards are smart. So it's a kind of a retard debate, but still, you know, it was subversive in that way because it was teaching white people. There was a point where she's, like, refusing to use a gun and stuff. So they're making fun of libtards, kind of, but in this good-natured way that, like, you know what I mean? It's sort of like the good-natured ribbing, like, you want to be that guy. Like, even though, yeah, we'll give you a little trouble. But, yeah, you want to be that guy. You definitely don't want to be
Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman. He's the guy you don't want to be.
Especially because he's dead.
Well, yeah. And, yeah, he died. But wasn't it, like, cancer or something like that? I don't know.
I thought he killed himself because his wife was a bitch.
Yeah, I think he killed himself.
His wife killed him.
Oh.
I gotta look this up.
What was he, in Nirvana or something?
What's that?
I said, what was he, in Nirvana or something? We can't tell if he killed himself or if his wife did.
Right.
Either way, his music sucks.
He was actually the one thing that was kind of funny on that show.
He was fucking murdered.
Oh, he was murdered by his wife?
Damn.
Wow.
I thought there was a suicide thing going on in there. I don't remember.
I remember it was crazy when it happened, but yeah.
So, heat death of the entertainment universe, the Jewish entertainment industry. Everything looks back upon the few decades in which the Jews, I think, were using media and entertainment to just get the goyim tapping along. To get you tapping along with the tune. Everything is fun. This is kind of like when you talk about like Jewish Christmas songs, and I get a little push. I push back. I was like, "Well, I really like those because those were in the era where you were supposed to like it, right?" Like they couldn't have done a Santa Inc. in the 1960s.
So you get
silver bells, silver bells. Like, there's nothing wrong with that as a melody. The only thing that's wrong with the song is when you look at what the motivation behind that song, White Christmas, Chestnuts Road, is all like, okay, we're going to do a bunch of Christmas media that doesn't have Christ in it. And you're going to have these warm, fuzzy feelings about it being wintertime and buying presents. And then we'll add Santa Claus. And now we'll start doing stories, just so stories, about the outsider being let into the in-group and not distrusting the outsider simply because he's an outsider. You get all this Jewish stuff that eventually happens. So one such get us all on board media phenomenon that was totally manufactured, I'm convinced of at this point in time. Thank you, Johnny. Is the Beatles.
That was a psyop. That was literally MK Ultra shit.
Was that like their first one? I feel like that was the first like really big, and it lasts today.
It's wearing off a bit,
50 years later. The Beatles I don't know if it wears off or if we're just in a circle where people that recognize it and they go, "You know what? Fuck the Beatles." That shit's overrated.
I used to do that all the time and annoy people.
People still do that now, but I think they actually believe it. So I don't know, because I just want to show you what they just did.
Well, my question also with the Beatles, was it always a psyop or did it become something when Sgt. Pepper's came out? I think it might have been Innocent at first.
Hydra Lovely is a good song. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Oh, they have a lot of good songs. It's a good song. But it's just like the screaming girls thing everywhere they went. Like, why were there throngs of screaming girls at JFK Airport?
Psyop.
Yeah, it's like Beatlemania was the psyop. It's crazy, but they have this lasting cultural imprint to the point where it's the 50th anniversary. I guess it was this year. So they're re-releasing for like the fourth time, All Things Must Pass by George Harrison, the first album he did after the Beatles broke up.
Which I don't think I've heard any songs on it.
Yep.
Or was is that? I might just not
recognize. Hallelujah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. God damn it.
That's a great song.
Yeah, I know that one.
Great song. So it's not, they're not just releasing it again, so you buy it again. They got the master tapes out and they mixed it again.
Oh, yeah, of course, just to make it another reason.
Not even just
to put
remastered. They fucking, I don't know who they got. They mixed it again. They're repressing it on like super like well done Abbey Road remastering vinyl. So they're doing the direct metal and all this stuff. And, of course, they're adding a million fucking demo recordings. Da, 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 da. But so the question is, like, this nostalgia piece, how many units is it going to move? Because that's a lot of work and a lot of money. That's a high overhead budget. Just to sell, like, and they just released the 40th anniversary in 2010. They re-released the 30th anniversary. It was one of the last things he did before he died in 2001. They did, like, this.
Do they need to move units? Or are they moving, do they need to move?
I looked into this. George Harrison's estate, the family, still owns all the rights. It's not like Bob Dylan, where he sold his entire catalog for like billions of dollars to a media company that's going to continue to try to take the catalog and make money with it.
What was that issue with Michael Jackson having the Beatles rights? And then
no, Michael Jackson's rights were bought by
the Beatles. Or was it the
right? Might have been the other way around. You know what? I don't remember.
I think he bought the Beatles rights, but then Jews like Jewed him out of that.
Well, yeah, then he sold. I don't know. But I don't even know. But anyway, it's like a thing that they do. So George Harrison, the family owns this stuff. But look at they made a new video to promote this new edition of the record.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the cast of characters. And I'm sure that these people didn't show up out of the goodness of their heart to be in a music video, which was shot all over Los Angeles. You need permits, you need crew, you need key grips, you need best boys, you need, and nobody's wearing masks. Everyone, I'm sure, is vaccinated.
Yeah, you gotta have
the first person you see in this video is Mark Hamill. Luke Skywalker. Mark Hamill, Fred Armisen, Vanessa Bayer, Moishe Kasher, Natasha Leggero, Jeff Lynn, Reggie Watts, Darren Criss, Patton Oswalt, Weird Al Yankovic, David Gabori, Sam, the list just keeps going.
That's a lot of
Tim Heidecker. People. Huh?
Oh, God, I fucking hate that guy. Yeah.
Like, the Tim and Eric guys were there. You know, Eric Warheim, whatever the fuck his name is. I mean, and if you watch the video, it's just like Hollywood person after Hollywood person after Hollywood person after Hollywood person that had to come out and spend the day shooting.
It's like, whenever they have these ensemble casts of people, I'm very suspicious.
This is a 7-minute YouTube video. Where they're
how
doing
long is the song?
They're doing the song is like four and a half.
Are they trying to get people vaccinated?
No, that's just okay, it's just a goofy.
I was suspicious. They got 30 actors on. I'm like, there's probably a vaccine pitch in there somewhere.
It's a goofy, silly take on like X-Files. Like Mark Hamill gives Fred Armisen and the girl.
Oh, they're admitting it now.
What?
Okay, they're like admitting that it's all a conspiracy somehow.
Oh, it's like he's investigating. What?
Are they playing games with that?
No, there's no COVID. No, there's still
No, I'm not talking about the COVID. I'm talking about the fact that the Beatles is like a psyop.
Oh, no.
It's like an intelligence op.
No.
Oh, okay.
Ringo's in it. Ringo's in the video. He probably came out.
Wait, he's not dead?
No, that's the cosmic joke. Is like he'll be the last one alive.
Well,
he's
literally
the worst one.
Oh, no,
Paul McCartney's still he's supposed to be the best one.
That's
I think George is the best one.
Yeah, George Harrison's the best one.
Yeah.
Easily.
But I don't know. Without getting sued. I mean, we are commenting on this.
Remember, I got my mind set on you.
No, please refresh me. No, I remember.
It's impossible once you think about it.
Isn't
to get it
that
out
the
head.
Song that he accidentally stole from somebody else and got sued? I know George Harrison had a
a legal battle. I just remember the video of it was hilarious.
George Harrison has a brain fart song where he just like rewrote somebody's song, like a really popular single.
I got my mindset.
It might have been that one, but he has a song where like he accidentally just like it was just in his mind and he wrote the song and they released it and nobody caught it until like it was a radio hit.
But it could be that one. I don't remember.
It might be got my mindset.
I remember that video because it was like
it's a
goofy
ass video. Yeah,
the video was funny. Yeah. It was like this earworm.
It's like all this British humor,
but like it had all these little puppets and stuff.
Yeah,
it
was cool.
Doing like going along to the beat and stuff. Yeah.
So
he's in an armchair like playing the guitar.
Just look at this. It's gonna black right now.
I hope we don't get this is Venus material.
Hello,
there he is.
It's happening again.
Oh boy. All right, I'm on it.
Maybe they are. It's like happening again. The Beatlemania. And there's Fred Armisen.
Look at. I need you back in the field.
Oh, no. Oh, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, they do this one. He hands him like a flashlight and this.
What's this?
Get
the fuck latest out of scanner. Here.
Remember, this is they. How many millions of copies of this box set do they have to sell to earn the money back on this YouTube
thing? Yeah, that guy's looking more Jewish every year.
What the I know, right? Fuck, dude. But look at the scale of this thing. The absolute state, like this, like look at this.
Who's that broad?
I don't know her name, but she's.
Seen her before.
Oh, let's not play the song. But like they go into this crazy library, and the books are stacked in like weird circles, like we're like it's Interstellar or something. You know the song. Everybody knows the song. Like they had to go and they had to do this.
Why do they have to do this?
It's just wacky. To sell a few million more units of All Things Must Pass, whatever it's called. They're scanning the. It's so cute. And we're driving around Los Angeles. And look, there's Jeff Lynne. Hi. I had nothing to do with the production.
Doing an optics?
I wonder if Jeff Lynne did the remix. I don't know who this nigger is or whatever this guy is. Clearly, he's got ties to Communist China. That hat.
Well, right? This is telling you a secret issue of Communist China being hand in hand with the FBI, right?
But it's like, I'm gonna be a boomer for a second. Like, I don't know who most of these people are. I know who that is. And that's, like, my point with this is, like, you've got all these people, half of them I don't know who they are, and they're all here to, like, simp for an album that's 50 years old, singer that's dead, and an industry that has nothing to offer anymore. And you got Jeff Lynne was just on. Jeff Lynne is a producer of, like, Tom Petty, Travis Wilburys, blah, 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 blah. And I think he actually produced, remember when the Beatles had, like, two new songs? As a bird. Remember in the 90s?
Oh, God.
Jeff Lynne produced those. Like, he took those demos and turned them into...
Patton Oswalt going to say how much A. Wyatt Mann is a great guy in this...
I wish he would. No, he doesn't say anything. He's just
still for A. Wyatt Mann here. Yeah.
Is he going to shave this week? I mean...
Well, you know what
Patton,
I see
like,
here?
Patton,
you know
these
see
these
this...
two guys, like, did you guys know that you were shooting today? You both look like shit.
You know what it is? This is almost like just an advertisement for Hollywood itself.
But this is... But it's literally an advertisement... But please buy this record for the fifth time.
Yeah, well, there's that, but I think it's also one of these things where these people
is a love letter to Los Angeles.
Are like fanning their own balls.
Yes, they do.
And
that.
Like, but the problem is nobody else wants to fan along, right? Like,
look
the fans,
how old even he is.
Yeah, yeah, they're like giving
like
themselves.
They can't even make another Patton Oswalt anymore.
No,
this is how bad Jewish entertainment is. They can
they're
make
trying
Star Trek
to
Discovery.
Do. They're trying to like relive some kind of glory day that can't be. There's Weird Al.
There's Weird
Al.
It
can't be relived, right? And it's like it also kind
here
of
they
shows
are. They're
you.
In the so now. They're all in the movie theater. And they're watching the old music video for the song, and this is what they're investigating. And everyone in this movie theater is somebody. Yeah. There's no extras. They're like they're
a lot of them probably actually might have done it this for free, to be doing the thing of like everybody in. It's like a Hollywood auto ball fanning. Like they're fanning their own nuts, and it's like a thing of like entertainment product. It's very meta, and I think that the issue is that like they themselves are like there's this whole thing of they
what the fuck is that?
That's from the Got My Mind Set on You video, dude.
Oh, was it? Okay,
that's a reference to that because there's a part of the video where he's sitting in the easy chair.
I remember that
playing the guitar.
Okay,
and then he gets up and he does a dance and he does flips and stuff. It's obviously a body double.
Is that Omar
and it's kind of a funny. It's funny that I mentioned that song because that is actually what it was really funny. It's actually a funny part of the old video. I'll be honest to see like middle aged or old George Harrison get up and do this
there's
crazy
Ringo
dance
and
stuff.
That guy, I know that guy. I don't remember his name though. Yeah, with the blonde hair. But it's just
was that Cato Kaelin? It'd be really funny if
Carrie Weird Al.
Yeah.
Well, the only person Ringo in the entire room.
Certainly not Ringo.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ringo's underrated.
Like how,
not terrible. Not the worst.
He's nothing.
That's like
the
worst take I've ever
and
had.
And then there's that guy.
I hate that guy. I fucking hate that guy. Yeah, it seems to me.
And here come all these people.
Oh, there's is that Kyle McLaughlin?
And here come these guys. Like, I know, and now these two assholes. And this dumb bitch.
Who the hell are those people?
I just know all these actors. I've seen them, like, in things. Some of them I've never seen, but there's people that, like, oh, I remember she was in some dumb TV show that I saw 10 years ago, and, like, they're still around. Oh, look at my glasses. I look like a serial killer.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if some of these people did this for free to be in it for clout.
And I mean, there's no, but there's no
advertisement.
There's no, there's nothing being served here other than buy the new version of this record.
Well, worse, they're doing the thing where, look, here's a reference to something. Remember this?
Yeah, well, no, I think that? I think, though, honestly, dude, I think that you're right that they're like, buy this new version of this song, but this video is free. You can watch
the
video.
The video is free, but that's what I mean.
And the
it's
video
a commercial.
Contains the song, but I would say I think the commercial is more than just the song. That's ultimately the only, but it's sort of like, please buy back into the Hollywood worldview. And it's very stale. It's sad almost.
This is very sad and
it's,
stale.
It's like
that's
really
my whole
stale.
Point.
It's
there
sad.
He is again.
It's
there's
depressing.
Jeff.
And it's something that's dead and it can't be revived. And the people, the old people in it that have a certain amount of clout, like they're trying to bring that nostalgia and then connect them with
look
like
the
younger
cast.
People who frankly have none.
Oh, it was Joe Walsh. That's who that was sitting next
oh,
to
that was Joe Walsh. I actually like him. Actually like
he him. Looks really different.
He's very weird, but that was a very underrated, weirdly underrated
but look at
guy. Anyway.
These credit cards are, you
credit,
know what I mean. You know what I mean? They never stop. The cards like
yeah. And so that's but you understand my point is
there's another
an,
one.
It's an ad for Hollywood itself.
Yeah.
It's an ad for, and they're doing the old-timey theater, and they're trying to invoke.
And it's like, we can still do this. And I'm saying, like, no, you can't. You can't
no,
do this anymore.
No, they can't. That's
this
exactly
fucking
right.
Doesn't work anymore.
There's what they've done, because there's a, remember, like, there's the, Hollywood movies increasingly, there's the phenomenon of them doing movies about Hollywood and acting, and they've only done that more recently.
Also, I want to know, all right here.
Who is that?
What
is that,
Steve,
is
what,
that
why
Steve
is
Bannon?
Steve Bannon? Fuck you!
I'm sorry.
That's exactly what, why is Steve Bannon in the George Harrison video?
For some reason, it might be Aaron Russo, but he's dead.
I don't know who that guy is.
I thought that might have been Aaron
but
Russo.
But he must be somebody if his face is on the screen. Yeah. He's
well,
the war
could be
room
any
pandemic.
Washed up. He could be any freaking washed up
yeah.
Hollywood guy. Now, what's funny is how few actual non-whites, or like a lot of these people are Jewish, I understand, but like,
oh,
like
so
visible
video,
people of
yeah.
color, right?
Yeah.
Only how many few. Visible brown people are in this video? Not very many.
Well, like brown people rocking out to like,
yeah.
Hallelujah. Just want to hold you.
Yeah, it's a melody.
Are there YouTube
kind
reaction
of a,
videos of niggers listening to that song?
Yes. There's a YouTube reaction video of a nigger listening to almost every song. Now, the funny thing is, okay.
Have you ever thought about how weird that is, that that's actually a thing?
Well, because people want to see, like, nigger reacts. Because
so, like, I need to be
funny.
Validated by how niggers react to music that I like?
I don't think it's that. I think it's just
I think there's a lot of
funny.
That going on.
There might be people that think that way. My view is it's just funny sometimes. It's just funny. Remember watching the nigger reacting to listening to Achilles' Last Stand? That was fucking hilarious. He was like, yo, for people to like music, this is good music. It's like, okay, all right. But I don't know how to put it into words. I get what they're doing, and I don't think it's necessarily. I think it's yeah,
extremely painful.
It's very painful, and it's an attempt to evoke like a melancholic, nostalgic feeling, for which is something that is dead, and in fact wasn't ever real to begin with, which is the old timey Hollywood feel, right? Like
yeah.
The old time, and there's been so many things they've done. That have been trying that have been referential back to that and trying to evoke that. The problem is it never was what it was.
Mm-hmm.
It never was what it said it was. And therefore evoking a feeling of nostalgia. It's almost like who are the people that are going to go back and be like, I wish I have this nostalgic feeling for old LA for LA. And of course LA when it was whiter for one, but old LA, old Hollywood going to see movies, being really invested in this. It's like only like Quentin Tarantino is the one who gets hit in the feels, right? With that, right? Like very few people get hit in the feels, or
what's funny,
it's like Denny hitting the feels with it. It's like the feel I get is like, I'm glad your bullshit is dying and cry more. That's like the feeling I get when I see that shit, right? It's like, fuck you. Fuck you. And a lot of this stuff is like, it's like you can't bring it back. America is dead. You killed it. And now you want to do sad meme about it being gone. And like, that's what I get. It's a feeling I get from that. And the song itself is melancholy. So it's only going to increase that feel. So it's not even just the selling of it. It's like the please get back invested in us as a group of people that do these movies and entertainment products. And honestly, part of it is even like COVID, because there's that shit got hit hard by it, and like people disinvested from their interest in it. You know, people like a lot. You know, that's one of the things that did happen. Like they're like, oh, we couldn't do movies and stuff, and it's like, well, maybe you should have questioned why you ever did movies. Maybe you don't need to do them anymore.
Well, they can't do them anymore.
I mean, they can't do them.
They do them, and they can't.
They can't get people to give a shit.
They can't. Well, they can't come up with anything anybody wants to do. They just go like, all right, let's grab this. Let's reboot this franchise.
Yeah, this is like
we're going to soft reboot George Harrison now. Right. Look at this beautiful new film we've reimagined, where Fred Armisen and Mark Hamill are trying to find him.
We're going to soft reboot like melancholy boomer melancholy for the '50s again. But then it's still just not the same, and it's all bullshit.
It's just wild.
I mean, I can only imagine the kind of bug man that would like actually get hit in the feels by that. You have to be really.
I mean, I really like the song, and I'm watching the video like mouth agape. Like, what the fuck are they doing?
Yeah,
because in the end of the day, like all music videos have always been. They're a fucking 5-minute commercial for the CD you're selling. Always,
but they're also a commercial for a culture. They're a commercial for buy into.
They should call this the Hauntology re-release.
Hauntology? Like he's haunted?
Hauntology. The present is always haunted by the past, and you can't create new cultural product because you just have to keep doing the past over and over again.
But there's nothing new to create.
Well, also, there's
For them.
I'm desperately trying to find who did the remixes. I don't know who. I want to say Jeff Lynne had to be part of it. Otherwise, why would he be in the video? Other than his involvement with Traveling Wilburys, but I think one of the other things is the way that album was recorded in 1970 at Abbey Road Studios on the kind of tape they were using with the kind of equipment and the kind of artists that were and musicians that were available. Like, you're going to get that out of Tay-Tay? But there's probably nothing. Like, imagine, like, I'm a world famous producer, Jeff Lynne. I'm assuming that he did the mix. Like, I need a project that's going to like evoke some kind of emotion, some kind of drive in my profession. Oh, this record from fucking 50 years ago. Let's get the tapes out of the archive. I'll mix that. Then I'll feel like I'm actually working on something that's like genuine, as opposed to what kind of like electronic auto-tune garbage from half niggers do I like? You don't get that out of, like, everybody knows how everything is supposed to sound now, and everybody knows how to do it.
Well, this stuff is
even
like
I can fucking sort of do it.
It's like a confession to the fact that they've got nothing.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
That's
that's exactly how I look at it.
Yeah, it's a confession that they don't, and they're almost like all kind of sad looking.
Nobody looks happy,
right?
Even though they're trying to do like a campy parody of like X-Files type shit, you just look miserable.
That's part of the selling point, is that they're all kind of like, because not hearing the sound, also you get a different feel.
It's
for
like
it.
I didn't need Fred Armisen to like the George Harrison song. It didn't. You didn't help.
I don't think it's even so much about the song.
I don't know.
Maybe, but the song being...
Ow! God damn it, that really fucking hurt.
I'm sorry.
Oh!
Was it funny?
You know that pressure, you know that pressure point right on your kneecap? Like, right on the corner of the fucking secondary desk.
That's what you get for trying... That's what you get for moving your leg in a way to not be gay by touching
my
leg.
Now everyone can see my white sneakers.
Oh, yeah, nice high tops.
I wear them as slippers because my feet get sweaty in my slippers and then they get cold. The high tops, not so much.
Right, it's because there's a lot of insulation there. But I was seeing what you were doing there. The maneuver was to avoid.
Yeah, I was trying not to be gay. Instead,
that's what you get. That's the price you pay.
Instead, I'm gay for like crying about bumping myself. Oh, I got the boo boo.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. That just gave me. I can't. This. I watched that. Like, I had fallen. I had gone to bed, and that had come across the Recos, and for some reason, I clicked on it. What is this George Harrison? I honestly had thought that they had done the bit again. We found an old tape of Georgie Porgy writing a new song, and let's release it. Then it was that song. It was
the same song.
It was that song. It's like, oh my God, it's worse. It's so much worse. It's like, we got this old album out, and we mixed it again, and we're going to sell it to you again. And here's Fred Armisen.
And well, here's like goofy, all these like other him? People who, yeah, it is strange. It does feel like, I've said it a bunch of times.
Remember when that Portland show was funny and quirky, and now it's just a constant like race riot against white people?
Well, it was still a kind of an anti-whiteness,
though. So I don't know what they're doing these
Portlandia
days.
Was still kind of anti-white. Portlandia,
that's what it was.
It was still anti-white. It was at the broad.
It started as just making fun of like hipsterism.
They were making fun of hipsters, which was cool. But that was like, these people just are.
But they
hipsters.
Were Jews.
They're Jewish.
It's
hipsters.
Like basically Jews like created this shitty subculture, and then they just made fun of the fun people of that got.
They
sucked into
whites
it.
Into it. And yeah. Here, ruin your life with this. Have no future.
Yeah, and then
with
they
this
made
kind of
they were literally making fun of like the
and then yell at them for
also,
gentrifying neighborhoods.
Right, like and some of it was also like they making fun of people just for having like not wanting to eat garbage food. Frankly, the one episode I saw of it was people that were like very interested. I'm going to use the word again, very fastidious about like eating the kind of organic food and shit they're talking about. Right.
They were
making fun of foodies and stuff. I'm like, okay, so people don't want to eat garbage food and like you're making fun of them for that.
There's one line of his that I'll never forget from the few episodes of Portlandia that I saw. They're doing some kind of marketing pitch meeting about foods. And he's like, Fred Armisen's like, this year I'm going to introduce Brussels sprouts as a dessert. They were all like, oh! Like, because he was like the master marketer. Like, he was going to create like a hipster trend of Brussels sprout dessert.
I could see them doing that.
It was fucking fun.
I could see it.
Because he's just like, as a dessert, with like that really smug, like,
yeah,
like doing that. And,
I remember the one where they're at some like wholesome, like not vegan, but like organic type restaurant. And like the lingo that they got into with the waitress,
yeah,
and they were like bantering back and forth with just like this increasingly arcane and obscure way of talking about this, like all these kinds of like organic foods and stuff. And it was like funny, but I also it was another one of those things where it's like it's funny, but I feel dirty for laughing at it. It's almost like a Borat type thing.
Yeah,
like there's some parts of it okay, I can see there's some parts of this are funny, but I also know what you're doing and it's disgusting, you know. Because it's like, and again, it is sort of funny that they did Portlandia, and now Portland is like constant, like you can't even go there. It's like, and it's not even, it's like constant, just
constant,
like anti-white rioting.
Struggle against like crazy
against white normal people.
Yeah.
And like they literally do things like if you're white, you can't drive through this intersection, and like the cop just sits there and like lets that happen. Like literally by race, picking people by race. And saying, you can't drive through this intersection because we're Antifa. We've blocked it off. Yeah. People of color can. You can't. To teach you, supposedly to teach you about the struggle of people of color. And then the white people are like, hey, cop, like, what the hell? And the cop's like, I can't do anything.
They can do something
and
to
then
you.
The guy, then the
if
guy,
you get too uppity, they can do something to you.
Right,
you
want a ticket? Then the guy tries to go through it anyway. And they start yelling at him that he's a Nazi for trying to drive through an intersection, attacking his car and stuff. And the cop still doesn't do anything.
Yeah. Alex, was that tweet bonus material? Do you want to do that on the actual show?
That is bonus material. Oh. I wanted to talk about this. This is what a Karen looks like in Israel.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Hold on. So there's a whole video. Kahanist. Alexander Jordan Kahanist Knesset member.
Oh, Kahanist. Kahanist. That's Meyer. Those Meyer Kahane. Those are big.
Yeah. Itmar Ben-Gvir, a Jewish supremacist brought into mainstream Israeli politics during the desperate last days of the Benjamin Netanyahu's rule, pulled out his gun and threatened an Arab security guard, yelling, "I'll take care of you." Well, maybe he's like a nanny or something? He's gonna watch you while your parents go to the movies.
Oh, so this you're saying this is like the Karen calling the manager?
All right. What would Danny Carey have done? Oh, call back to a show from a week ago. Because you're not seeing this till Monday. Oh, he has a weapon. I see it. Low ready position.
I have no idea what these people are saying. Any of them.
I think he's starting to take care of him, according to the translation there.
But what is he being?
He is waving a gun around saying, I'm going to take care of you.
What is he being justifiably restricted from?
There's never an unjustified restriction of Jewish movement. No. We're all recording each other. Welcome to Passive Aggressive 21st Century. We're all recording each other. We're all recording
our They're not going to get any trouble, though. Like, there might be some lifted Jews that, like, wag their fingers. They're not going to get any trouble.
If this was a right-wing American politician and they were waving a gun around at a black
right-wing American
guard.
Person generally, just a white, ordinary white person.
They like insulted and threatened him. He did that for his safety. That's like the response. That's every Jewish response to everything.
Fuck you.
They insulted and threatened him. He did that for his safety. That dude, is like that is just
a,
like
it was a security guard. The hilarious thing is they have Arabs doing security at the Knesset. Yeah.
But like, I'm saying that is the standard response. That is the Jewish response to every single thing that they've had. Yeah. They insulted and threatened him. He did that for his safety. Remember that? What was that Howard Stern bit?
He was he's threatening people.
I'm not threatening anybody. I got it all on tape. Remember that guy went out to the protest, like the hotel?
What's
the
his
hotel?
Name?
I don't remember.
Some
but that kike's like, he's here, he's threatening everybody.
Yeah, well, he was making fun of the immigrant protest. He was like, hey, I don't
my
make
sheets.
My bed.
Do my laundry.
You shouldn't be here, you should be doing my lawn. And then all the people, lawn. All those libtards, like, started blocking him. They're like,
he's
shielding,
threatening people.
They're like shielding the squad of Marlins from him. It was like.
They can't even understand what he's saying because
they have no idea what he's saying. It was also like it was a protest for like labor, and he's like wanting to hire them.
Mm.
Joey Boots.
Joey Boots.
That's who it was. Joey Boots. Yeah. Mm. Joey Boots was funny.
Well, should this thus conclude segment 3 of bonus material? Will there be a segment 4? I don't know. It's already 2:30.
It's getting late.
We still have to do the rest of it. Episode 8:34.
Yeah, we got to do another hour on COVID.
If we just do like an hour. No.
I'm joking.
Oh, that's right.
I want to do a COVID show. I want to have an actual COVID show.
Our COVID content was so bad that my fucking computer shat the bed.
Oh, the other content was great. Alex not reviving.
It actually cut me off as I was trying to make my point. So maybe my COVID content was shit.
Well.
Fucking.
Wouldn't be the first.
No,
for any of us. COVID content is.
I don't want to do more COVID content. I want to do a COVID debate.
You specifically should have your sound card crash.
Well, you could. I mean, who do you want to have a debate with? Like,
anybody. I'll argue about COVID. It's great.
Yeah, I will support whatever side you take in that.
I have the high ground.
Don't try it.
Yeah, don't try it.
What do you mean?
A Star Wars reference.
You need to watch more Star Wars.
Oh,
I have the high ground, Anakin.
Oh, yeah, no, I haven't watched Star
then
Wars
he says
past,
something stupid. Then he just says something stupid and does something that makes no sense because George Lucas.
Oh, is that that's from movie 6, right? That's from the...
Yeah, the episode 3, which is actually the 6th one. Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
It gets chopped off. Well, they're having that totally reasonable, like, lightsaber battle on those, like, hoverboards that go
I remember
the lava.
When they were doing it in, like, the lava world or whatever.
Yeah, it's with the lava world. I have the high ground. Don't try it.
I remember, like, how awful...
He tried it. He fucked around and he found out.
But it was like, but why would that necessarily... In a lightsaber fight matter, particularly when you have a floating
also,
skateboard.
Can't Jedi, like, technically jump, like, as high as they want? So why did he just jump barely high enough to go over his head so he gets his limbs chopped off?
I think they needed to give a reason why suddenly Obi-Wan could actually beat Anakin.
It's like, I have the high ground.
They didn't have a good
Even though
excuse.
You have a supernatural ability defy gravity.
Right, you can defy gravity.
What
you have
did
a floating
did a combo
board.
Breaker. Anakin was trying to do a combo, Sonic and he interrupted him with a combo breaker.
Well, that was my thing. It's like
which also knocked all of his limbs off.
Well, again, it just shows you how ill thought out those. This is going to be more content of this type. Ill thought out those movies were. In it, the ultimate thing has to be Obi-Wan beats Anakin
right
in the fight and maims him, so he has to go into the suit. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the whole movie up till then was Anakin getting built up as like super powerful, so that Obi-Wan was like scared of him. But then, how is it that that's why they did that line. So I now suddenly have some weird advantage, even though it doesn't really make sense.
Get up, son of Troy. I won't have my glory stolen by a stone. That's what should have happened. But they should have got on even ground and really had a fight. That would have been more principled.
What's that from?
Troy.
The movie with Brad Pitt?
That's when Brad Pitt is fighting... Who played the guy
Hector?
There? Who played Hector?
Playing Hector. I like how like that's now a Mexican.
Eric Bano. Eric Bano.
There you go.
Eric Batchroom.
Eric Bennett, what happened to him? He hasn't been around. He's not very good actor.
He
was in everything for a little while. Now he's not anything.
He's not. It's not. It hasn't been,
also, as Hector. That
it hasn't
like,
been long
like,
enough.
Why isn't Hector all jacked?
It hasn't been long enough for him to be like a nostalgic property yet. Like, give another 10 years, maybe. Or maybe he just was never that good.
No, he wasn't. He was also in The Incredible Hulk, wasn't he? He played Bruce Banner in the very, very first one.
Oh, did he? I never even saw that.
It's the only one I ever saw.
You know, there's another Spider-Man. You know, there's another Spider-Man movie out.
Somebody was saying the new Spider-Man was not bad.
Oh my God! No, you just mentioned mentioned Ang Lee. I want to say it was Norm Macdonald, maybe not. When they said like his name was based on how the how the reception of the film made him feel. Was it Conan O'Brien?
That was back when they could make racial jokes. They can't do it anymore.
That was Conan?
That's really strange. Well, Conan, you know, he's
his reaction
Jewish.
To the film is
he's half Jewish.
I was just looking for that
for you.
Oh God,
I'm half Jewish. Okay, I'll have to look past the anti-Semitic remarks.
Look right
so that's
past
why
it,
he's
Conan.
Allowed to like make the anti-Asian remarks. Yeah, that is funny, he's but it's also Jewish. Like very
Ang
yeah.
Lee.
When you saw the final cut of that incredible movie, it was very Ang Lee. Man, that's funny. But that movie fucking sucked. That's the only Incredible Hulk movie I ever saw. I never went back.
I never watched any of them.
I never went back after
wasn't
that.
There, wasn't there Edward Norton one, too? I never saw
that. Was
saw
in,
that.
Like, the very first tier run of Marvel movies. Like, the original.
Are,
like
are those canon? Because now.
No, that one was specifically not canon. You like, specifically are not canon because it was so
Mark
bad.
Mark Buffalo became the Hulk.
Yes,
after
Mark
that.
Mark Ruffalo, who's so upset about JoJo dying.
Mark like, Juggalo. Let's make him a Juggalo.
Mark loves JoJo. Like, remember when he was calling
JoJo the Rabbit?
No, Joseph Rosenbaum.
Oh, right.
He was calling him JoJo. Remember that shit? Fucking unbelievable. It's like, bro, did no one tell you? Did nobody tell you?
Unbelievable.
That's another thing where it's like libtards see conservatives saying that, and they're just like, okay, that's just not true. It's like, no, it's fucking true. Or people they weren't even conservatives saying it was us. They're seeing people they thought were conservatives or right wingers. Oh, these people saying this guy's a pedophile just must not be true. It's like, no, it's true. It's literally fucking.
All right, let's go finish the show. We have to do the Merchant Minute and stuff.
Yeah.
Last Wednesday, not today. This is bonus material. Bryce, it's 2:30.
Are we going to do another bonus?
It's 2:30. I don't
think we got to tickle me calm, though.
I think this is going to be the end of it.
I keep wanting to do this Holocaust stuff, and it's just
tickle
not,
me calm, though.
But I guess Holocaust stuff's evergreen, but we got to talk about. And you'll know we did it already when you hit that freaking school with the kids.
The reenactment, yeah.
That was some wild shit. That. I want to talk about why Trump's not an anti-Semite, too. Or why Trump is an anti...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Is Trump an anti-Semite? We got to talk about that shit. That's
Trump probably. Is fucking...
That's right, because...
Trump is just filled with Jew cock.
See, certain arguments themselves are just anti-Semitic, and you can't have them.
I'm going to keep eating K.S. Keith's toffee.
Well, I have a whole take on that, so...
I have a whole bag. I have a bag of toffee.
Yeah.
We haven't got any peanut brittle. I want peanut brittle. Well, this is the end of the bonus episode, then? I don't want to do another segment.
I want to go home now.
Will they accept a 90-minute
I'm cold down
episode
here.
On Monday?
Yeah. They will.
I mean, it's literally like nobody's available to do content on Monday. That's a problem. I mean, I am. But I'm not capable of doing content.
We can do content from Alex's house.
Why would you...
Okay, you're right. Fine. I'm not.
I mean, you're supposed to go there and have fun.
We're probably going to be leaving on Monday morning anyway. Having fun the day
we'll
before.
Be in the car. There's just no content on Monday.
Whatever.
Everybody's busy.
It's, you know, the Media Therese documentary. Yeah,
I'm going to do a prep video by myself. See how long I last.
So the people are listening to this on Monday.
Yeah,
and they're going to be lamenting.
We're stretching time now, so it gets closer and closer to 2 hours.
And I guess I could do a little bit more later.
We're back on Wednesday with a paywall episode, and then Thursday night should be Enoch and Warrant You, and then...
someone wants us to call that the Reich Brothers, but it's...
No, like, I want to call it Ew.
No.
Enoch and Warrant.
No.
Ew.
No.
And then New Year's Eve will be off. And then we'll be back to normal the Monday after New Year's. We'll do a full week of podcasting.
We call it like Warren and Mike, like WM. It could be like white male, or it could be like waste management, or Warren management. Like I don't know. Like I don't know.
Oh, isn't it just like the Christ cuck hour?
I doubt that's what anybody ever accused us of doing.
No, there's like a Spurg thread in the comments. There's a couple people who have gotten it in their heads that TRS is now a Christian shilling thing.
What?
That just means you're not listening.
Well, no, that just means like you're eternally like a butt blasted in this fight because just.
Yeah, like let focus on something that's like.
But it's just like
make sure to focus on something that makes you fight with fellow white people.
Just like
make sure to do that.
Empirically, like pagans aren't making a dent in that fight. You can just be pagan, but like the whole like we're gonna fight with Christians until they're like not Christian anymore. Like that's just not happening. All it does is like make everybody mad. So that was happening in the things because I guess Warren must have said I didn't listen to the show, so I don't know what he said, but I know he's talking about Christmas and traditions. So he must have been pro Christian in somewhere. And somebody was like...
Warren likes Jesus.
Oh, fuck.
But he likes him because of anti-Semitic reasons.
Well, whatever. Like, there was like a spurg out about... And like we were accused of...
Did I ever tell you about my workaround for this problem? It took me many years to finally have this realization.
Just ignoring them and not even bothering
no,
them?
Worrying about no, here's it. The thing. Internet Christians aren't actually Christians.
Oh, I know. Yeah, your solution is to make everybody even madder than they just were.
Yeah, see, there we go.
Right. That's the thing. They're not
and
mad.
You worry
though.
About
they're
me making people mad. Like, you go ahead there.
But like, it's like, but it's like really okay.
They're making a category error. They're claiming that they're religious when all they have is an academic belief in something the same way you might academically believe in.
And now is the time for cringe, for you to cringe, because
this is why I just don't believe in any of it anymore, because it's like...
See, the brilliant thing about my position on this is actual Christians... agree with it and they're not offended. They're like, yes, I have religious faith. I believe I've had religious experiences.
Well, I agree that like
I haven't. I wish I would.
Well, I also made the point, I think on the Beanus content, or maybe it was on, I don't know.
It's still Beanus content.
I don't know whether it was Beanus content, in which case I'm repeating myself, or whether you heard it on the second to last show. I don't know. But
coffee.
The point where I was like, you can't make Christmas necessarily make sense because of saying.
Oh, I remember that.
Well, but it wasn't wrong. I mean, I wasn't saying it's nonsensical. I'm saying, like, you can't make it fit neatly into a Christian or pagan box.
Now, this is
because
the kind of,
it is a mixture of both traditions.
This is the kind of this is the kind of Christ cuck coddling content that commenter was complaining about.
But that's not a complaint that I consider valid.
I'm being completely absurd.
I mean, he could have the complaint, but I don't feel like I'm obligated to respond and assuage him like on that. Like, the position is the position. Like, frankly, pagan and Christian both have part of the European tradition. Like, you have to just accept that. That's just the truth. Like, it is. Christians and pagans have to accept that.
Actually, there's been an online Christian push lately to, like, you know how the shit libs would say, oh, you know, Christian trees and real, it's all pagan stuff. And then Aaron was like, yeah, so.
Yeah, so what? Yeah.
Well, the new online pagans, actually, it wasn't. So they're trying to take our own away and make their own new own.
That's not true, though. I mean, I get.
Oh my God! You're telling an internet Christian that something's not true? You believe something is not true?
Well, my thing.
But see, an internet Christian is just a robot that's convinced itself it needs to have a religion.
Well, my thing, this is my point to the internet Christian.
They're trying to install software study if compatible with.
This
your
is
fucking,
my point, though. Like,
I don't have anything to say to internet.
Your
Christians.
Attempt. No. The thing is, the fact that they're saying that. Is exactly what Alex is talking about with the category error. It doesn't matter that the Christmas tree is a pagan tradition.
This is intense bonus content.
It literally does not. You don't have to worry about it.
This is a bonus infight.
This is a tradition of a few different things that came. Like, this is an organic thing that grew up over a couple of thousand years of different traditions mixing and blending together. And it doesn't matter. Nobody ever really. You're overanalyzing it and making it. This is exactly them. Trying to make it fit neatly into a box is an intellectually consistent thing, and it just isn't that kind of a thing, and it doesn't need to be.
How dare you be this disrespectful to them on December 22nd and then not publish it till December
27th? you see,
because you're pandering to Christ
knows
bucks.
Exactly what I mean. This is exactly what
Christ
you're talking
cucks,
about.
Bring
right?
your Christ bucks.
Like an effort to say, Christmas trees are actually really coming out of like the Jesus Christian. It's not just not true. And so the fact that you need that to be true, because you've set up in your mind.
See, you know the best thing about my trap is if you need to argue with me on the internet autistically about these like extremely rationalistic points of faith,
you've already
it's because
lost.
You aren't religious.
You're like,
that's why
you're
you
like
Ken
Shiro from
Yeah.
From this of the
because a religious person doesn't feel the need to do this. They're like, well, I spiritually in my soul feel moved and I had a genuine religious experience and you can't take that away from me.
It's just what I always say. If you're talking to Alex McNabb, you're losing.
Right. No, it's like he's literally like, you ever Fist of the North Star where he pokes the holes in his fingers and then the guy's like still trying to fight. He's like, you've already lost. And then his head explodes. That's like his telegram. Like
everything
channel.
He says is bait to start a conversation. And you win by not engaging. What you have to do with Alex is not talk to him. I'm trying to figure out how to do that myself, but we put him in his own little box.
That's well, my like, thing that's is like, I just. My power. People don't understand that. But when I thrive off of conflict and debate. If you're arguing, you're losing.
That's why I've never argued with you. Actually, I have, but it's...
But you got to admit, my position on this is it's pretty fucking strong. And here's one of the problems I find with these people.
I know.
If I start asking questions, because I don't even address their points anymore, I start asking questions like, well, how did you come to your religion? Oh, well, you know, I looked at various faiths, and I analyzed them, and this one looked the most consistent to me, and that's why I'm Greek Orthodox or Roman Catholic. Because it's going to be one of those two, right? You're going to pick one of those two. And I'm like, oh, so you picked it from a catalog. After rationalizing and analyzing and doing study, does that sound religious to you?
But can't you just be like, I have a religious, like, deep-seated, like, faith in Christ, but I want to go to the denomination that hates Jews the most? Or, like, that's my problem. Like, I was brought up in Episcopalian church, and I don't want anything to do with that church. I don't want, like, lesbian, transsexual fucking pastor. Right. So I would have to, if were I to go back to this... You know, the issue there is I don't have the religious feel. But if something ever happened where if I ever had a personal experience that made me see like God in a fucking grilled cheese sandwich or something and I was back, I would have to like shop because I can't go to that church. That's the only comeback I would have for that. It's like politics are so bad. Churches denominations are so cucked.
There is an element to that, yeah.
That one, like that Orthodox church, is pretty. Like white people love that. Nazis love beloved.
See, if that's the case, you'd be able to tell me that you had a religious experience that made you decide that you had to do this. And no one does that. Whenever I talk to them, they say that they looked and they did like an analysis, like they were checking the thing out.
Well, the main thing is that they became interested in politics, and their interest in politics made them think that Christianity was a means to their political ends. Therefore, they started looking for a church that would be sort of at least not openly hostile to their politics, which is I'm telling you, the Orthodox Church is too, just so you know. Like, at least in America, the Orthodox Church is openly hostile to your politics. And then unless you just adapt them to the point where it's not, which is then what a lot of people end up doing. But then ultimately, remember, they're going to have you go and wash the feet of Guatemalans and blacks and tell you to like it. And ultimately, you're going to have to just deal with that. There's a guy we knew who recently...
I don't think the Orths do that. Do they?
They all Christians do it. Well, the Orthodox are literally ministering to South Americans now. That's their main thing.
Huh.
I thought they were based in Red Pilled.
Never heard that before.
Well, one time I went to an Orthodox service a couple years ago. The whole time, that's what they were talking about.
And I remember that, yeah.
It pissed off the white nationalists that were convinced by a guy in their group to go to the church. He convinced the whole group to go, and then in the parking lot, people were like, the fuck was that?
I have a deep-seated religious belief in just not liking brown people and really hating Jews.
So what Mike is saying is they're using religion as a means to an end, and that's something me and Borzoi have had long conversations about. It's a consequentialist approach.
If the end
is
religion, then fine. But for these people, it's not. See, if the end is religion, and therefore I find the church because I need the one that's going to give me the religious experience I need and I want, or the kind of community and fellowship I want. But it's not. They're looking at doctrine, and they're looking at doctrine to adjust to certain political prerequisites, right?
Right. Content.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I would say, why not just do politics? Why not just do politics?
Can we finish episode 834 now?
Yeah.
It's 2:45. Jamie's going to be so mad.
Because when we started doing politics, nothing out there that was political matched the needs that we had politically, so we just made our own.
Why didn't we take care of the Republican Party?
It was impossible.
Oh.
They had so many Jews in charge.
No, it's just too Jewish.
All right. End of bonus transmission.
Always give your best. Never get discouraged. Never be petty. Always remember. Others may hate me. Those who hate me don't hate me. Unless you hate them. Then you destroy yourself.